participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
That's what we hear. Loved by all.
You bet we are.
Norman!
Hey, Yanni.
Hello?
Your retarded brother back there, ready to give his famous favorite sign on for the weekend.
The weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
What are you enjoying for lunch today, Joe?
Whatever it was, the entire upstairs smells of it. What is the cheese in the product?
Parmesan.
Of course.
And what is the product, Joe?
Spaghetti.
Yeah.
Parmesan.
Did you microwave it?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I heated it up.
All right, I just was wondering. And you could smell it, too, up there, right?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Joe.
Of course.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
It smells when you cook it.
The Parmesan.
Right.
Nothing like microwaving cheese that smells like puke.
I made it myself.
I'll bet.
Ooh, the Parmesan. Hi, Joe.
Good day.
Good day, sir. Well, there he is in the back room with his friend Yanni Norman.
I am serious that when I was upstairs finishing my lunch and I smelled that, I thought I was all alone up in the office and I thought it was me.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I really thought the smell was coming off of me, but it wasn't.
Thank God. Hey, listen, in case you didn't know, not to start the show on a downer, but Mike Douglas is dead.
Yeah.
The guy that was on that TV show all those years.
Like the first color television show I ever saw was Mike Douglas.
I know a lot of us watched Mike Douglas. I know that I did. And made me think today, this has nothing to do with Frida passing or the way I look at death or anything, but I remember when Johnny Carson died, what I did that day on the air, I was so pissed that they treated it like a president had died, and I really railed about it, you know, said, God, Dave, not funny, you know, towards the end, he sucked, blah, blah, blah. I went home and Frida said, you wouldn't have reacted that way if Letterman had died. And I said, well, of course not. I mean, it's totally different. And the more I thought about it that night, then she said to me, well, don't you remember when we first were dating and got to know each other? You would watch Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
You always liked Johnny Carson. You liked Johnny Carson. You liked Letterman.
I love Mike Douglas.
So anyway, I said, not that it matters, not that Johnny Carson gives a hill of friggin' beans, some stuff, because the coverage, for whatever reason, I had a bug up my ass that day. The coverage bothered me. Now, Mike Douglas will get no such coverage.
Not enough.
And I just wanted to, like, cover my talk show ass, the guys that do talk shows.
Was Mike Douglas, I guess Merv Griffin did it too, but wasn't Mike Douglas the first guy to do it, like, in the afternoon?
I think it was
a 4 o'clock show or
3 o'clock,
maybe.
1962 to 3 o'clock, maybe.
You know why we knew it? I think we knew the show. Because that was the show that was always on when we were coming home from school.
Right.
That was what, the mommies were watching when the kids were coming home from school.
That passed for entertainment.
It did. I loved it. I stand by it. I'd go back and look at old Mike Douglas shows just for the pop culture, just like the old Johnny shows, because it really is kind of our pop culture history. It's fun to watch.
Where I first saw George Carlin, as a matter of fact.
That's where I saw John Lennon on the Mike Douglas show. Was flipped out by that because it was like his set looked like The Dating Game.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the guy would just come out. It was these big pop 60s flowers in the background.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he was just as jive as can be, saying, well, we're going to have a wonderful show today, teach you how to make some brownies, and Tody Fields with her bad Jackie Gleason-like foot will be here.
And he was an Irish tenor.
John Lennon and Yoko Ono will be stopping by.
Where did he do that show? Did he do that originally?
Philly.
It's in Philadelphia.
Philly.
That's right. It's really that and Bandstand were the only shows to originate in Philadelphia.
So anyway, adios, Mike Douglas.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot of history there.
And now as much of a tribute as we can do, here we go. Oops. Sorry.
Mike Douglas on rhythm guitar.
I hope nothing's wrong with Oprah. She doesn't look well.
Ain't nothing wrong with Oprah. I seen Oprah on hard copy last week with a picture of hell. Got a tall, young, strong gentleman named Stedman, so handsome. He's my favorite out of all of them. Jenny Jones, Marilyn Kagan, Maury Povich, Latterman, Leno, Montel, Ricky Lake.
I like Rado.
Mike Douglas. Oh, Mike Douglas. You know, Mike Douglas used to make me moist when I watched the show. I would get moist when I watched the show. Only white man ever did that to me was Mike Douglas.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Douglas. Wish I could have done this for you, Johnny. But you never recorded Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Yeah.
Katie got a dolly.
Oh, yeah.
That cries and blinks its eyes. Jimmy got an automatic plane that really flies.
Who he?
Exactly. We were poor that Christmas. Mama stayed up all night long.
Woo! Look out! Look out!
Sitting in the kitchen making us a present. It was this song.
You're a goddamn genius. You're a goddamn genius.
Angel, sing-a-ling, happy birthday, Jesus.
You're a goddamn genius.
No place, sing-a-ling.
Okay. There it is.
And, yes, everybody's calling. I think it would get a free pass on it, but no, I set off the alarm when I mentioned that she was on.
And here she is.
Mentioned that she was on the Mike Douglas show.
The woman that broke up the Beatles.
Also an Irish tenor.
Oh, God.
I love her version of Danny Boy.
Yeah.
It brings tears. Is that her or is a fat coming in?
Wow. Hey, it finally ended.
Hey, we got to the end of it.
Wow.
Ladies, yeah, look at that. It just restarted. You know what this is? This is a free pass now.
Right.
The next time anybody says it, the alarm won't go off.
Because you did a double play on the alarm?
Yeah. But as long as she's going, we might as well let her get to the real annoying part. Not that that wasn't the moment she started to open up her beautiful mouth.
Oh, God.
You're a goddamn genius.
Call the exterminator.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, can I say that the one thing about Mike Douglas that I wanted to say, I've said this before on the show, the very first day that my folks bought ponied up the dough and bought a color TV, I came home from school and I came in and they had it in this little small room in the house, and I came around the corner and there was a red sparkle drum set that was on TV, and I mean I was mesmerized. I was staring at that thing and it was just like, yes, I had been drinking, Rob. No, Buzz, I was actually 21 when we got our first color TV. It was very, very exciting, but that's my memory. Yes, that's what my mom would do. She'd, you know, like iron and watch Mike Douglas.
Yeah, my mom would iron and watch General Hospital.
Moms used to iron.
Watch Mike Douglas do the laundry in the afternoon.
Those were the days.
Yeah, I don't know how many moms iron anymore, but moms
wait for the dictator to come home. You know, and while you're talking about watching it on color, just reminds me again. I know I've said it a million times.
You color TV speech.
You know, if you're listening
out
there.
Your deprived childhood color TV speech.
Sam, and if you're listening out there, you bastard. Everybody else had a color TV.
McCabe's had them before we did.
I had to go to a friend's house to watch Batman on Wednesday and Thursday, or Tuesday and Wednesday nights, whatever night it was on when I was a kid. Because my dad wouldn't buy a color TV.
But he did the next best thing, didn't he?
Yeah, now, what he did was...
I love this story.
What he did was... And he finally got one after the Super Bowl when the Jets won. That's the timeline in 1970 is when he finally caved.
You know, seriously, and I really think if I could find the exact time frame, we would have gotten color TV at about the same time.
But I wanted it so bad.
Yeah. We only had one neighbor on the street that had it, and we saw that football game you talked about, and then it was right after that. That football game sold a lot of televisions in the United States.
Oh, the Super Bowl, right, with the Jets and the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
What my dad did, because he was tired of me bitching about color TV... We had like this 13-inch Philco
round picture tube,
and he came up with a piece of plastic like this.
Right,
and the top was blue. Mm-hmm.
They advertised it on black and white.
Right, the top was blue. The middle was like this reddish kind of pink, and, and the bottom was green.
Right,
and he said, "Now just wait a minute," and he got out some Scotch tape. And taped it to the front of the TV.
There wasn't even a method of fastening it to the television.
And he said, hey, look, There's color TV. Yeah.
The blue was on top of the sky, the pink was for people's faces, and the green was for the grass below.
except if you were watching Batman and right. they had a shot of his face up close. Right. Well, the top of his head was blue,
right.
then it was kind of flesh, and then the whole entire bottom was green.
Just didn't cut it.
Right. And my dad would sit there, I would be so mad, sitting Indian style in front of the TV, just stewing, and he'd say, "What is the problem? Seriously, don't you see the color? I see the color. It's beautiful. It's color TV."
So he was serious about it. It wasn't a gag with him. He thought this, for him, that made color TV.
I just can't look at him right now. I just realized what his T-shirt says.
The Erotic Museum.
The Erotic Museum.
I'm one of the exhibits there.
God. Oh, you know what? Don't even bother with him today.
Really? Is he all charged up?
Here's what he needs. He needs about 5 minutes alone in the men's room.
Really?
Because he came in before the show today, and we were chatting, and he said, "Oh, I'm so excited. I got my new box of DVDs."
Yes.
Including this girl that he's got in his screensaver.
Oh, really?
He got all of his porno DVDs by this chick, directed by his favorite porno director, Andrew
mine
Blake.
Too, actually, though. He does have good taste in directing.
What's her name, Buzz?
Meeting a Perfect World, Kyla Cole. Now, other guys have known about her for years, but I just discovered her within the last year and became obsessed within the last couple of weeks.
Is this woman-on-woman porn that she's in? Or is
I haven't the... actually watched it yet, but okay. I think that's what she did.
Have you been to the Erotic Museum in Hollywood?
Yes, I have. Yes, Doc. Yeah, I recommend it. It's a good couple hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Couple hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
if you do it right.
If you take time.
Linger longer.
If you take time to get what's that crap they pour on kids down to Nickelodeon?
Oh, the slime?
The slime. Yeah, if you take the time to get the slime.
Yeah. You come out, you're completely slime.
They don't call it that, of course.
You're
covered. Covered in goo.
Ew.
Covered in number three.
That's a heck of a T-shirt.
Thanks.
Well, anyway.
Heck of a tight
Oh, do we have a call about Mike Douglas? And then we'll actually start the show. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Oh, man, do you know the name of Mike Douglas's last hit record?
Wait, hold on a second. I think I know. The Man in My Little Girl's Life.
Oh, yeah, The Men in My Little Girl's Life.
Right. The Men in My Little Girl's Life.
It'd be a rap girl. Song today, you know?
What?
Do you say it would be a rap song?
So would Happy Birthday Jesus.
Yeah.
Could be, sure. Family.
Happy Birthday Jesus.
Kick it.
He's Jesus. And it's his birthday.
Oh, God. That was the one, that was the jivest part of Mike Douglas, was the singing part. No question about it. I mean, even he could have a good guest like Dean Martin on or something like that, and it would be funny, and they'd be, and then all of a sudden it would be time for the Irish tenor part, and it was always kind of, he never sang any songs that weren't kind of schmaltzy.
And he always did like to sing with the guests.
He loved it. Well, he was a singer. He was a band singer. That's what his background was. Just like Mervin. Just like Merv Griffin.
Hello.
Merv Griffin is still with us. Thank God.
Yeah, and looking
God.
Great.
Yeah.
And really, really looking great.
I'd like to see him on that color TV.
You know, don't look now, but we are losing national treasures right and left.
Yeah. There you go. Thank God we're still here, Mike.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me just check. Yes, we are here. Oh, and now we'll do this to actually start the show today. Sent in by listener Dave Hork to start the show. Dave. Kids, gather round. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Cannonball coming. Cannonball.
Starring Don Geronimo.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get late.
Wait up, girls. I got a salami I got to hide.
And Mike O'Mara.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere. Former Grangekeeper now, about to become the Masters Champion.
It looks like a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Featuring Buzz Burbank.
You take drugs, Danny? Every day.
Good.
So what's the problem?
I don't know.
And here they are, two petty fat bastards, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Near and dear to my heart, that one, the Caddyshack mix.
And no mention of Kong. And also Joe didn't make the cut in that one, and neither did John.
Like, we enjoy more, we have to say, when they include everybody. We want everybody to be made fun of.
Still a good one, though. Yeah. And we thank you for it. And now, Jam Singers from Dallas, Texas. Sing our names.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Ed, Mr. Ved, so angry. He's so angry. But that's what I offer you at the beginning of the show is all kinds of different anger. But yesterday it was goddamn Tommy James and the Shondells.
It was right. A pop classic yesterday.
Today it's the very angry Ed Ved.
Some
bad
newscast news and pleasing
barons.
Stay tuned for this and more.
Yes, it's time for the news, Buzz. Are we at the end of the show? What's your lead story?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, that's what I was looking for. Push the wrong button, Buzz.
You're goddamn
genius. Look out! I know what happens. Oh, you know why he's scared.
Yes. The eighth wonder of the world.
It's time to bring him in. Open up his cage. See what treats he has for us today.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
Boy, you get a lot of build-up today.
Ta-da! How's your Terry Bradshaw haircut?
We probably won't mention this during the show. Last night, if you watched the football game, might have been curious how Fox is going to fill the void because our friend JB left their pregame show. They've not hired anybody.
It's just Terry, Howie, and Jimmy.
Terry Bradshaw last night with a haircut that it can only be described as a bald guy mullet.
Oh, he's gotten it. It's gotten longer in the back.
Yeah. And now it was just the first game, and they were sitting outdoors in directors' chairs in the stadium. But Terry Bradshaw was looking into the wrong camera, had his hair blowing all over the place. Really is not the right guy to do that job, like to ask questions and set up.
So Terry has slid into the JB role?
Yeah, and the first thing he says
big
is...
Big mistake.
Joe Buck says, let's go down to the field down to the guys. And it's these, it's the three guys. And he says, well, we're going to miss our friend after 12 years, JB. He's moved on to CBS, and he's looking in the wrong camera.
Oh no!
Right out of the box.
Oh, that's too bad. Are they going to fill that role? I mean, are they going to put somebody in there? I thought they were going to hire
Michael Wilbon.
Wilbon was supposed to do it.
Well, I believe Terry Bradshaw's got the job because I saw a commercial later that made it look like he was the host now of the Fox show.
That is not a good move. I mean, I love Terry Bradshaw, but that's not what he should do.
After last night's broadcast, don't you think they're going to fast track getting a traffic cop in there? Because it was sloppy.
Seriously, that would be like me coming over there and pushing the buttons on this show. Be like a clown car. I mean, really, seriously, it's going to be enjoyable throughout the season in a so bad it's good way if they keep him in that role, I think.
But, they're sitting out there and he's like, well, the Colts look good in the first Perry Jimmy. What did you think about Peyton Manning?
Oh, yeah, that's just so not him. That's not what he's there for.
Do your thing there, Kong.
All right.
Sorry.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Widow Douglas and all the ships at sea. Back after a busy morning of collecting discarded hair gel at the airport, they will save a fortune.
You bet.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, thank you, Rob. And as you can tell by the smell, everybody, Don and Mike show it. It's a new episode on this Friday. 08-11-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Well, you've had enough tapes for you today, Buzz. That's Buzz. And here you go. Not a mic show, and here's the phone number you need. From America, from Canada, one phone number, no waiting. 877-365-3636. We're We're on the internet with the show. Is sure on the internet. Go to our website, johnandmikewebsite.com. Click on Listen Live. If you want to email us during the show, let's all go to Johnny Norman. Throws most of them away, but go ahead, you know, enter. You know, click and win. Good luck.
Enter.
It's like playing the lottery.
Wow.
You know, that's the odds of your email actually making it to the studio.
Good.
Your odds of winning the lottery, but go ahead, send them in. DonandMikeWebsite.com. And we're on iTunes.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. It's Don Ampersand Mike to subscribe.
Ampersand is that, excuse me, ooh, a little too much lunch. Well, I ate some rich food today. That's the squiggly thing, the ampersand.
Right. Yeah. And it don't cost nothing. It don't cost nothing on iTunes.
That's wonderful.
Two brief things. I see we have lots of calls. We'll get right to them. The tat, some people, John said people had been emailing wondering how my tat is, my tattoo.
A severe infection that you're battling,
yeah,
isn't it?
I'm going to have most of my right leg cut off.
Well, unfortunately. It happened so
speaking
quick.
Speaking of Tony Fields.
It's a gangrene.
Worth it.
Limp.
But no, it's nice. It's
horrible limp.
Very little scabbing.
Ah, good.
That's good.
And anytime I can say that, very little scabbing.
That's a good day.
Well, you're a healer. You know, you've always been able to, you know, the first time that we were on the road and you did the laying of the hands on somebody, it was truly amazing.
Now, really, this would be a genuine emergency.
Incredible!
At least in my pathetic life. Imagine my shock and my horror today. When I thought, you know what, it's time to get a haircut. It's time to get a nice-looking haircut. A haircut started to look a little bit like David Cassidy on the Partridge Family. Come on, you know
yeah,
it is.
It's a little
get that,
shaggy.
Get that kind of
you got kind of a poofy thing in the front.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't do a thing with it. A
little pompadour.
I thought you were going for that.
It's like a Michael Landon
thing. I thought you were going to grow it out ever since we went to the Wayne Newton show.
Yeah.
Las Vegas pompadour.
Well, I'm just incredibly lazy, and I don't like going to get my haircut. But, you know, I got this card at a haircuttery.
Right. You can go to any haircuttery anywhere, right? Don't you get your haircut for free?
Yes. Well, this is the problem. I have lost my card.
Oh.
And not only that, I lost the letter with the guy's name on it. So what I did was, I am pathetic. I picked up the telephone and called the corporate headquarters.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Of the hair shuttery.
Yes.
Today.
Hello, Linda.
I swear to God I did.
You don't know me, boy.
And I said,
Sacramento?
Yeah, right, Sacramento. And I said, excuse me, what's the name of the president of the company? You know, they said, Judge Reinhold.
It's where all those corporate headquarters are, the hair cuttery, the coffee beanery.
Yeah. And I said, may I speak to him, please? Hold on. I got to put this through to some other level, and it was like, you know, like anybody, I'm asking for the president of a company or right. whoever they farmed me off to at their main offices. And, I started to tell the woman, I said, I don't really know the guy's name, but I do a radio show and he sent me a letter and he sent me a card, a gold card, and I could get my haircut anywhere for free. And only like 8 people have these and I lost
my... I believe his last name was Wonka.
The golden ticket.
I said,
William wants.
Said, like, only 8 people in the world have these things. And she said, hold, please. And I thought, oh, now I'm getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And she comes back on the phone and she says, is this a joke? And I said, no, ma'am. And she said, well, I've asked around the office and I've never heard of such a card.
Oh, sure.
And I said, well, now listen, this is easily explained. I went through the same thing the first couple of times I used the card.
Did you say at any time during the conversation, hold on, missy?
Where they didn't believe it.
Right.
And anyway, she ended up just telling me, you know, just to basically screw off and enjoy my day.
That's sad.
And anyway, if the guy from the haircuttery is listening...
Well, he's obviously a higher up in the haircuttery.
That was simply, or if anybody from the haircuttery is listening, I need a replacement card.
I remember the day you came in with the list of people that were on the gold ticket list.
It was only seven of them.
7 lucky ones. I'm something of a famous radio announcer, and I have a golden ticket. It allows me not to wait in line and get free haircuts for life.
It does. Yeah. It does really, and well, I lost the card.
Yeah. Are you appealing for just the card, or do you need somebody to cut your hair?
Oh, no, I mean, I know sometimes
laziness would really get to you, me too, you'd actually have someone come in and cut your hair.
No,
and then for the longest time, Kong used to cut your hair.
Now listen, that was years ago. No. I'll go get a haircut. I mean, I can get a goddamn haircut. That's not a problem.
You've been up and down the pike? It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's like every other strip mall has a hair place in it.
But I really would like that haircuttery thing.
Yeah. Oh,
if for no other reason, I really like showing it off.
The exclusivity of it.
What was it made of? Is it plastic?
It looked like a credit card.
Real gold.
Looked like a credit card. And it was, yes, made out of solid gold.
That's right.
With the chocolate core. With the chocolate core, yes. It was edible.
Do you think you left it at a haircuttery or you just, no idea?
The last time I got my haircut was like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was one day I was just like cleaning out my wallet going, yeah, this is good, this is no good, this is good, this is no good. And now it's gone.
You know, sometimes I hate the fact that my hair grows so fast. I wish I was more like Rob.
Hey, going. Now listen.
I drove past, and I looked at it, and I thought, boy, whew, $15?
Yeah.
You know what?
Not today.
Not today.
Well, let's be clear here. It's not the fact that you don't want to pay. It's that you want also the quality of the haircuttery. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the quality of the hair, the consistency of the hair cuttery.
Right. Now, hold on. You can bust balls here. Mm-hmm. But really, I maintain, and I gotta watch this, because one of my closest friends is one of the fancy schmancy, owns one of these places down in Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the place where Frida used to go.
Right.
Really, and you would mortgage your house, you know, to go there and get your hair done. You got to wait 3 months for an appointment. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy like that, he would be offended by me saying this, but the truth is, I could come home with a haircut and say to Frida, you know, where do you think I got the haircut today? Do you think I got a cut with our friend, I'll use the name Emerald.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it went to Emerald's? Bam! Or do you think it went to the haircuttery? And
she wouldn't be able to tell?
She would quite often say, well, you had to have gone to the haircuttery because there's no way you would drive all the way down to Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so she'd say, haircuttery all the way. Mm-hmm. She'd look at it. All the way, say, hey, fooled you, had a meeting downtown today.
I would say you went to the fancy place, except for that one part of your head that looks like you reenacted a scene from Jackass, the movie.
I think, really, the haircuttery gets a bad, bad rap.
Yeah, I think any place is as good as the person whose chair
in. I will tell you, really, in the last 5 years, the absolute drop-dead best haircut I ever got was in the airport in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. They have an actual barber shop there.
Cool.
A real friggin' barber shop.
We could put one here.
And if you've got like an hour in between flights, why not?
Right.
They do that thing where they do the straight razor on the back of your neck,
mm-hmm.
and you leave and you go, wow.
You know, if we found, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 guys here.
Right.
We could have barber day. We could have barber day where a lady comes in and we all...
No, no.
It's just another one of my ideas being in the new place, you know, just something to be, just to shake it up and be fun.
Oh, that'd be exciting radio.
No, it wouldn't have to be on the radio. It would just be like we'd have somebody come in and hear and cut our hair.
A hairdresser receptionist combination.
Well, but see, I've given up that. Oh, that was okay. A silly day.
Well,
that was like that was me trying
salary.
To adjust to the. No, I mean we just come in and we spit for like $10 per haircut.
Hold on, yes, Joe Artinger.
I need a haircut. I was going to use the dog shears, but my wife wouldn't let me.
See, Joe needs a haircut. You need a haircut. Rob always needs a haircut because he has that flat top.
I have a lady from the Orient. Her name is Lou, and she's magnificent.
Buzz, do you need a haircut? You look like
set. I have
set.
A good haircut.
Would you get your haircut if somebody came in here?
Maybe.
Lou does color, too.
Methinks vanity. He's not going to get his
hair. I have somebody I've been with for a very long time.
Buzz, whoever, if Mike's dream came true and someone did come down to do my hair.
If my dream came true, we would have everything done here.
This
surgery.
This person would be able to.
Routine.
To keep what we like to call the Ronnie Reagan secret.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do.
You know, black shoe polish.
There's no reason why we can't.
Look at Buzz's hair. Buzz's hair looks like Superman's hair.
We could get a stylist and a colorist.
Superman's hair is jet black, really dark as a thousand midnights, and it's got that one little curly cue, and it's got a little blue on it, and that's exactly the type of hair that Buzz has.
I got a sick puppy at my house today. You know what the puppy ate today?
What?
Got up on the counter and ate my Just for Men beard coloring.
Oh.
And immediately began to throw it up. I'm glad the puppy's still alive.
Yeah.
Because that's real bad stuff.
Yeah,
that's stuff that colors your hair.
But it's dark stools, man.
Here's the worst part, all right? The dog.
It's like tarry stool.
The dog is a Great Pyrenees, snow white dog, all white dog. I'm going to come home tonight, it's going to look like a Newfoundland.
Yes.
It's going to be no, brown. But seriously, the dog, for some reason, is attracted to that product. I mean, there's a lot of crap up there. There's toothpaste, there's everything, and he got into the hair coloring.
Maybe because he associates it with you.
I don't know. I don't know.
Right? That might be.
I just don't know.
The dog looks younger, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have... Remember when we used to do that thing about Jamaica? That guy right. that we met over there, Tari Stool?
Tari Stool.
Yeah, you're going to have that. It's going to be everywhere. It's gonna, your house, when you get home tonight, is going to be like the monkey cage down at the National Zoo.
Well, fortunately, I was not in the house when this happened. Carlo told me the dog ate it, and almost as soon as he got into it, he started throwing it back up.
It doesn't mean that some of it couldn't have gotten into his stomach.
Yeah, you know, we'll find out. If his hair color changes over the weekend, I'll let you know.
What you should do is yell at him and say, can't you read this is just for men, not for dogs.
I should have said that.
Hello there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike Buzz, how you guys doing?
Howdy.
Hey, do you think Kramer still has that original TV set he took from Mike Douglas or what?
One of the greatest episodes of Jerry Seinfeld.
It was Merv's set, though.
Yeah. That's right. It wasn't Mike Douglas. It was Merv.
He's right, but still one of the greatest episodes ever.
My favorite.
Hey, one other thing about the Barber Day.
Seinfeld, yeah.
May I suggest July 14th?
July 14th.
Why?
Rob.
It's Bastille Day.
There you go.
I don't get it.
Don't get carried away with the haircuts.
Oh, because of the chopping of the head.
That's a beheading joke.
All right, well, listen,
you know, that was a great idea I had. Now, because of this call, now they're not going to let it happen.
That was a great idea you had.
I love the idea. You'd love it. You'd love Barber Day. Where we have I could make it happen. I'd take the responsibility. I wouldn't pay for everybody's haircut.
Okay.
But I'd make sure that the person came out here, and I could arrange to have, like, a really qualified person come out here.
That's okay.
Maybe a fetching qualified person.
I'm with her.
We could do it in March. It could be Barber Arbor Day.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Radio Gods. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks a lot for sticking to your roots on the radio, and I'm glad for your new studios, and I'm glad you guys aren't going to cable. And just remember, I listen to learn, I learn to listen, and listening tastes like chicken.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You know, he rehearsed that. And...
You know why I like that? Because it was heartfelt.
Yeah.
I think he was a barber.
He wanted to get it right. I want a female stylist, not a barber.
Don and Mike Show. You want a female stylist, all right.
I don't want some Italian man in a smock coming up here.
He cut his hair.
You want. You want.
Everybody leaving happy on Barber Day? Just a trim. I mean, it's about time we had some visitors.
I remember... 1978. Okay. I'm working in Indianapolis, Indiana, WNDE. And just horny as hell. And I can't do anything on the telephones, and I can't go meet anybody. And one of the DJs told me, maybe I've told this before, one of the DJs said, have you gone to that place by that car wash out off, you know, whatever this road is? I said, no, he said, it's a massage parlor. And
right.
I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, get my drift, it's not really a massage parlor.
Right.
Like, you go in and, you know, you lay down and it's handy time.
Uh-huh.
And I said,
handy, handy.
You know,
very
said,
handy.
He said, and if you want more, you know, you pay more.
Right.
So I immediately jumped in my car.
Right.
And drove into just the worst part of Indianapolis. You know, and I dare you to pick the worst part of Indianapolis. But,
yeah, right.
but it was
especially
the worst
now,
part.
Yeah.
Hold it. And really walked through those curtains that are made of beads.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they could be the atmosphere.
I still have
walk into this place, and it's like loaded with everybody from Full Metal Jacket. All the chicks are Oriental.
Right.
There's a couple of black chicks there.
Right.
And everybody...
This is in Indianapolis?
In Indianapolis, Indiana, 1978. Mm-hmm. And I had never been in a place like this. I walked in. One of the girls came over and said, hi, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And she took me to the grossest room I have ever been in. It had... Bad 70s Brady Bunch paneling on the walls.
Right.
There were like six of these rooms, and there was just like a curtain in front of each of the doors.
The kind of walls that if you like leaned on them, you'd push them clean over.
Oh, yeah, true. And like, you know, and there's like not a doctor's bed, but like that metal, that big metal thing that you jump on to get examined at the doctor's office. That's
exam
there with a little mat.
Was it really like an exam table?
Yeah, with like a little mat on top of it. They had these in every single room. And, you know, she said, get ready and I'll be right back. Now, I had just no idea.
How do you get ready?
So I just sat there.
Were you a wide-eyed youth?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean,
Is this like a scene from one of those Neil Simon movies?
I'd been around. Mm-hmm. I'd gotten my share by now.
Okay.
I was 20 years old, mind you, but I'd never actually been to this place, and it was pretty gross, and she came back in the room, and she just had her robe on, and she said, you know, something like, what are you doing with your clothes on? And I'm like, oh, right.
Sorry.
So I started to take my clothes off, and I realized as I'm taking my clothes off, it's like, where am I? What exactly am I doing?
Oh, where do I begin?
I really didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And
I bet after a while you knew what was going on.
Oh, immediately. She went right over. She had like her little table.
Right.
With a towel, mm-hmm. and some lotion.
Right.
And she said,
whenever you tell these stories, you should tell them, you should tell them in the voice of Gene Simmons. Slowly.
My towel mysteriously fell to the floor.
No, I was, I said, what are we looking at here? And she said, she gave me the rights.
Right.
And I said, okay, yeah. I'll take value meal number two.
Mm-hmm.
And,
did you get a haircut during this?
Climbed up on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And, we were done. And I gave her the money that she had said. And she said, how about it? Normally you tip.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't have any more.
Were you doing that when you didn't have your clothes on? Were you pounding your pockets?
No, like, I was putting my
pockets. No pockets.
It was so long ago. I don't know. I was putting my clothes on, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I said to her, you were great. I'll come back. I promise you I will come back. Mm-hmm. And, I walked out. I thought, ha-ha. I'm never going back there again.
Oh, you burned another bridge.
So I go back to the radio station the next day, and I talk to the guy that recommended this to me, the disco dentist, uh-huh. Chuck Crane.
Oh, him.
And he said, so did you go to Sucky Sucky or whatever? And I said, yeah. I said, Jesus, that's so skanky. I was so scared. God, I'd never go there again, never in a million years. I mean, it was, I would rather not have sex. That's creepy. I was afraid, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing my show that very night. No BS, end of the show. Get a call from Chuck Geiger, another one of the DJs. He says, hey, we're going out tonight. Do you want to come by? I say, sure. He says, okay, we'll meet you at X spot. So I get done with my shift at 6 o'clock in the evening. Met these guys, and they said, first things first, we're all going to Big Buddha Mama's Kama Sutra, and I was like,
the DJs loved it.
I was like, oh, God. And the thought that I was
going... They didn't have ATMs in those days.
No, and the thought that I was going there, we were all going to ride in one car.
So did the station have trade there or something?
No. We got there, and... I didn't want to tell them that I had just been there the night before.
Yeah. Your worst fear would be you walk in and they go, hey, back again.
Because the only guy that knew that I had been there the night before was the disco dentist who was on the air at the time.
Right.
He did 6 to 10 p.m., right? So we walk in the joint, and the very first thing I see is the woman,
yes.
the common whore, mm-hmm. who had serviced me the night before,
uh-huh.
who immediately walked to the door and said, oh, you came back with my tip. Nobody ever comes back with my tip. And right away, I'm standing there with...
The other guys are looking at you?
With these guys, and I said, yes, I did. And I reached in my pocket for whatever it was, $5, or that's for you. I told you I would come back.
I'm a man of my word.
I told you I would.
Mrs. Gallagher, whatever.
I told you I would.
What a good Daddy. Man.
And then I...
Suki.
And then I sat in the waiting area and waited for the other guys.
Because you were out of money.
Well, and also, because at that point, they were like, you were here?
I was just here. Yeah, but I'm not interested tonight.
That's what I said. you guys go ahead. Now, talk about feeling awkward.
Yeah.
How long did you have to wait?
Did you sit in the place?
Yes. I sat out.
Jesus.
I sat in this little dingy, waiting room.
Wasn't it interesting, though?
With the...
was it like a trip through the erotic museum?
Yeah. With the horse secretary that would sit there, and guys would come in and girls would come out, and it was like, I'm just sitting there wearing, I believe...
In the heartland of America.
Yeah. I may have been wearing a satin jacket at the time. I really might have. Yeah,
there you go.
I want to say it could have been something cool like Bob Seger, but
the look that says innocent.
It could have been a Bee Gees jacket
with really big hair, I imagine too, right?
Yeah,
like everybody had bigger
than today.
Super big hair.
But I think that's the only time I ever paid for sex.
Right.
That's the only time I ever paid for sex.
Right.
Now why do you go like that? Why do you go?
I said right.
No, but your face indicated you. I said that's the only time I ever paid for sex. And you
right.
You went right like. And you did that thing where you bite your lower lip and you nod your head like.
Mm-hmm. What would that facial expression communicate to you?
That I have paid for sex other times.
I don't know how you read it that way. That's not the way I intended it. He said with a knowing look. Really, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Okay, me with you either, Mike. Me with you either.
I have no idea.
And is not marriage the ultimate price to pay for sex?
You mean, yeah, I think that, you could look at it that way.
I mean, that's
heard many men say that type of thing.
Like a mortgage that never ends.
As soon as you walk down that aisle, you're really paying for it. You start paying for it at that point.
The lease agreement. Sure.
But that was so long ago. And then, no, you know what? Hold on. I take it back.
Really?
Yeah, I paid for it again. I paid for it.
Wasn't that Shadow, wasn't it?
Yeah, Shadow Stevens. His real name was Bruce Bisson. This place over, Jesus Christ, by New Carrollton, Maryland.
That's a nice place.
Like in a warehouse area.
Yeah, of course.
There was like an after-hours nightclub that opened up at 2 in the afternoon. So yeah, I did it then, too. What are you writing down? I dare you.
No, rather not.
I dare you.
Just writing you some notes.
I know you are. I dare you.
No.
Come on. Come on. Share with the class.
No.
I'm sharing, you share.
No need.
You share.
No need.
No, but as a matter of fact, gosh, it's too bad Jim Elliott's not on the show today, because I'm sure he remembers that we all used to go over to, I think they called it at the time, what did they call a gym back in like 1980?
A gym?
Health club? Thank you, Buzz.
This is like Buzz with a question mark. Health club?
It was something in the brochure for the museum.
It was something like the New Carrollton Health Club.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I went there a couple of times.
In PG County.
I went there a couple of times, too. Yep.
Was it cleaner?
Yeah, oh, much cleaner.
Well, that's
and they knew who we were.
Of course
they did. They knew who we were.
So the Indianapolis place would be the dingiest one.
Yeah, and actually the other one, well, I don't know how many of these guys are still married, anyway, we would go and they know who we were.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, hey, hi.
That had to be a little strange.
So I heard you last night. Yes, thank you.
And that had to be a little weird.
And, you know, it would be like, would you like a drink? I'd say, no, that's okay. And, you know, Bruce would take a beer. And sit there and start chatting with them. And
he was kind of a cool guy.
Meanwhile, you know,
kind of a cool hedonist.
The other guy, Dave, would be standing there smoking his little Tipperillos, whatever they were. You know, big bushy, welcome back, Connor, afro.
Right.
You know, three of us standing like cool guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I the only one that's ever paid for sex?
No. We talked about this before. I have once as well.
How about you, Rob? I don't remember. I mean, I know we've discussed it, but I don't know. We've gone this in depth. Mike?
I don't believe I have, no. No, don't really believe I have. No tattoo. No tattoo.
You're so innocent.
I am.
God.
I'm like my sodium pentothal spewing friend across the the console. And
that's good.
And that's, yeah. But yeah. Wait, hold on. You know what? Hold on a second.
What?
Let me think. What? Hold on a second.
You gonna remember something?
Nope. Nothing's coming up.
Nothing comes to mind. All right.
So to speak.
Very good.
Now I'm out. Don't have any memory of that.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
You're lost.
I have no recollection of that, Your Honor.
No. To the best of my knowledge, no.
Good.
There you go. To the best of my knowledge, no.
The witness may step down.
Yes. You know my memory.
Oh, those were the days. God damn, those were the days.
The days of the health.
Sunny days.
Yeah.
Good times.
Sunnier days.
Good times. Good times.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
My brother has a hair salon on Neville Street right there near your place. And he's the man. He won the North American Hair Award. And he said, I just talked to him, that he would take care of you.
Hold on a second. Does he have any hotties working for him?
Oh, plenty, plenty.
He won the North American Hair Award?
Naha.
Yes, my brother won the award.
So he owns, yes, he owns the salon?
He owns the salon and also cuts there as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
is he swishy?
What's that?
Is he swishy?
Well, he ain't coming over.
Oh, man.
Listen, this is my deal here, Wade. This is my deal.
This seems to be part of Mike's fantasy, so I'll let Mike work this out.
Yeah, all right. Who's your, do you work there too, sir?
No, I don't.
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My brother's, can I give the name of his shop?
No.
No, you can give, let him give the name of his shop.
Well, if he gives the name, then we should all get free haircuts.
For the rest
I'm
of our
doing
life.
This deal. This Wade, I'm working on this deal here. Work with me here.
I don't know if I want to get my hair cut at work.
And
with
he doesn't
guys
know
every
if,
day.
You know, well, it's not every day.
Or whatever. I don't know if I want a haircut.
All right, you know what? I'm willing to chuck this all if we have just a brief vote. Who would like haircut day? Who would like haircut day? Would anyone like haircut
Joe.
Day?
Joe says,
yeah. John?
Hold on.
John doesn't have
Norman.
Hair.
John?
I cut my own.
Well, that's obvious.
Giselle?
Hey!
Wouldn't mind a touch-up?
Sure. A little trim?
Sure.
I got my China girl that I love so much.
All right, so we got...
I would not be adverse.
Okay, so it's one, two, three,
on,
four.
Hold on. You have bully pulpit. Hold on a second.
What?
You know, John, it'd not be adverse. At first he said, who wants Barber Day? And your hand was down.
Well, I don't need it, but if there was somebody here offering free haircuts, I wouldn't turn it down. I mean, it takes like 10 seconds.
You know what that is? That's like when you say something. I can eat,
but you said
I can eat.
Exactly.
You said you wouldn't pay for the haircuts.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay. But I mean, if it was the convenience of somebody being here and it was reasonable.
Well, I tell you, his salon is.
Oh, hold on, please, because we're going to work something out here in a second here. And you don't have to be. I mean, you don't have to get your hair cut, and Rob doesn't, right? If you guys don't want to. But what if it was like? What if you really just wanted a little trim?
Hey!
That's why I would do those buzzes.
What if seriously? What if we? You know, you came upstairs and you knew, and it's like there's all of a sudden there's the smock up there, and it's like,
but it's in the office. It's not even interfering
doing?
With you.
What are you doing? I know. Go ahead if you want. If you want freaking Barber Day, knock yourself out.
Not Barber Day, Stylist Day.
Why do we just have chicks outside in bikinis washing our cars during the show?
Why not?
Hello.
Perfectly good idea.
I mean, really, let's be honest.
Do those girls know how to cut hair?
Oh, you really wanted some chicks around here.
No, I really, I actually, the convenience of I hate getting my hair cut as much as you do.
So
and
if we
I hate,
had,
like, making appointments. I hate it. It's a big pain in the ass.
So if the
I
gayest,
can't stand it, no, but I like a good haircut.
So if the gayest of gay, but very talented hairdressers.
Can I be honest? And I don't want to sound gay, but I will sound gay by saying this.
Yeah.
I would much rather have, like, a really qualified person. Whether the person was hot doesn't depend. Man or woman, I'd rather have the better, like, haircutter person. I'm sure Buzz would agree with me on that.
Of course.
You know, as opposed to having hotties, I'd just like to have somebody really qualified. Now, if this guy's brother won, you know, Hair of the Year Award or whatever.
The North American Hair Award.
Do you think your brother would want to do hair day? A hair?
I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I'd be glad.
Well, what are you calling for then?
Oh, I talked to him, and he said that he would take care of Don, and I don't want to speak, you know, for everybody else.
Well, tell him thanks, but no thanks.
Limited
I'm
all.
Waiting for my free haircuttery card.
Okay.
And look at Mike crushed.
Guys, have a good day.
Mike is now crushed.
Yeah, tell him I'm real happy he's going to take care of Don.
You don't want his haircut.
Hump.
You don't
That's
want
right.
that.
What a shame he didn't get his little plug on.
You don't need him.
Golden boy, it doesn't always come up 7. It doesn't always come up 11.
Gotta roll again.
September is only what I care about, baby.
I know you.
So you're not averse. Well, it literally will not impact you because you won't be upstairs when we're having Barber Day.
No, you can handle this off the air, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
This could just be a project that you handle.
Yeah.
That will build some allegiance with you and the co-workers.
I will take care of it. Right, John?
Johnny? Yes.
Mike will take care of it.
Oh, wow.
I will take care of it. Yes, John.
Yes.
Thank you, John. Thank you for letting me take care of that, John. This could be lots of fun. And you know what? You know, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Maybe
it's not going to be fun.
Maybe. Well, it'll be convenient. And you know
what? It doesn't matter because it's not going to be on the air.
Well, there's no. Of course not. It's not going to be on the air.
So have fun.
All right.
Have fun. Have fun at Barber Day.
And I'm sure that, you know, Barber Day, and if we're paying for it, that, you know, no plugs required.
Hair plugs.
Right, there you go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's services provided for services rendered.
There you go.
And
like
you know what? You might roll in here and, like, be a little shaggy that particular day, and it happens to be Barber Day, and you got, like, 10 minutes. and you want to sit down in the chair. What?
Funny.
What am I doing?
It's just funny.
I do, you know what?
We're just here to do a radio show, and really...
We're here to do a radio show.
Sometimes I feel like you want a concierge here.
But here's the deal.
I really do. It's like, call down to the front desk. Hello, Mike would like a hot towel. Mike would like to have his haircut. He would like to have a receptionist, please.
Yes. I would like all those things. I'd like to take full advantage of the fact that this entire building belongs to us. And we can do whatever we want, whenever we want. That's what I want to do.
Well, then hire your...
The receptionist idea is...
Hire your barber.
Well, I'll entertain calls. And, John, you can screen them. And pick the right barber, and it's done.
So we'll do it. Hold on. You're not even going to be involved in the screening of the person that's going to cut your hair?
That would be a detail.
Not even the final,
should we change that type of tradition?
Darn it!
Hey, John?
Yes?
You know not to follow up on any of this, right?
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, F you guys.
Oh, come on. I will bet anybody.
This is easy, Barbara. Like,
hold on.
Like next month.
I'm saying this live.
Right.
On August 11th at 3:49 East Coast time.
Next Wednesday, Barber Day.
Within 2 weeks, you forget about it.
All right.
Within 2 weeks, you forget about it.
Right. Well, of course I'll forget about it if it's not. I was asking John for some help, but you just commanded him to totally disregard this and to
because
not
because you're going to forget. You know what? Never mind. Yes, go ahead with it.
All right. Next Wednesday, we can maybe shoot for Barber Day, John?
Hold on. Let me turn this thing
count on it.
John?
Of course. Why not? Thank you very much. And I don't care if he laughs at me and in that way. That's fine. You know, really... It might be very convenient. I'll get my hair cut upstairs.
So you're going to make John call and find somebody.
No, I would hope, I would assume people will call in and want to do this and call John and maybe call the show and do it that way. That's the way I would think this is
going
to happen.
So we can
you want me to go through the yellow pages?
So we can tie up the phone lines on the show with somebody calling up to say they want to come down and cut your hair in the office.
Forget it.
Hold on.
I got a couple emails already. There's a girl that's willing to come down and do it.
Well, I'm sorry that screwed up the show. I am sorry that has destroyed the momentum that we had with our number 4 ratings. That now, because I simply wanted to have Barber Day, I'm very, very sorry.
But what is Barber Day?
Cake Day too, Mike.
What? What's that?
Can we have Cake Day?
Cake Day.
Hat Day.
Oh, I'm not for that.
He is my everybody's mocking. You know what? To hell with it. I'll get my hair cut my own way. The idea, you know, here I am again. This is just like the receptionist. I just thought it might be fun. I just thought it might just shake things up a little bit. You know, a little morale boost here at the old Hubbard Drive.
You know what it is? It's for you, it's a way for you to come to work and just come in and get your hair cut into the office while you're sitting there reading the newspaper, having your lunch.
And everybody else that wants to do it that way. I thought it'd be fun.
Why do you hate this? Why do you hate these ideas?
Why do you hate these ideas? You are a man who simply wants to be left alone. That's all you want.
No, because all you want, Jesus Christ, you want someone to come down and cut your hair in the office. Why?
Because it would be fun.
Why is that fun?
And convenient.
It's pompous.
Well, it's not pompous.
Yes, it is.
It's not pompous at all.
I'm not talking about getting
it. It's Barber Day. And we've been talking about it for a half an hour, and I thought it was funny to talk about it.
But F it all.
Screw it.
Barber Day.
I'm going to shave my head right now. Get me the clippers.
Now that, I think.
No. You know, nothing. Nothing will change. It will just be here. We'll be here. We will be here.
I'm sorry, but this is not enough for you.
I will be here.
You have to have a genie come in and
it's not. There's just, it's something just to shake it up here just a little bit. That's all. I thought it would be fun.
We've been here a month.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I tell you what. Why don't you go back to Fairfax and sit at the microphone at Fairfax.
Don't give me that crap. I drive longer than anybody that gets here every day, and I thought it would be funny, and now you're getting serious on my ass, and don't do that.
Well, I'm not really getting serious on your ass.
I mean, I'm...
The part of me that's getting serious on your ass is, okay, Barber Day, okay, but if it's off the air...
Barber Day, seriously?
Seriously.
Funny. I could give a rat's ass about Barber Day. I could give a rat's ass. I thought it was a funny topic, and it would be funny to talk about if somebody came in and did it. It would be funny. That's what I was talking about. Funny. That's it. Not pompous, not anything. Funny. Stupid, silly. You've gotten your hair cut on the air before.
It was when he did it. It took 2 seconds.
No, you've gotten your hair cut by professionals on the air before.
Dean Banowet, the guy from American Idol.
Well, that was that show.
And you've gotten it from other people. In the 20 years we've worked together, you've gotten your hair cut on the air more than I have.
Well, those are moments I regret.
So you're going to distance yourself from that?
If I could turn back time, I would say I have no recollection of ever having gotten my hair cut on the air.
Well, if I want to go back, and then you say if I want to go back to Fairfax?
Well, when you said you have to shake it up because we've been here a month, you said exactly. It's like,
you know what? Seriously. In this place, it's like the first day I came in here. The whole idea of the fact that we have this entire playhouse to ourselves and we can do whatever we want. The answer is yes. Shaking up, doing stuff that we would never... You know what? Because everything else that we used to
do...
Seriously, everything else at the other place... Tell me if I'm wrong about this. Everything else at the other place used to be... What if I wanted to do that? We'd have to run it through 15 different people.
All right, what the hell? I mean, you want to have your barber day? I don't want to argue with you. I'll endorse your barber day.
I'm not being pompous about it. I could really care less about it. It's convenient, but it's not me. You know, I've been getting my hair cut. You know, traveling all over and doing. Normal.
I certainly do pompous things as well. I mean, Jesus Christ, you could call me on that. I'm begging for a haircuttery card.
But see, that's the thing. It's just that it was the subject. It came up. And then,
then let's have your barber day.
Thank you.
Have your barber day.
Thank you. And I thought it sounded funny. That's why I was talking
about it. Have your barber day, Mike.
Go back to Fairfax. That hurt. That really, really hurt.
John?
Yes?
Disregard. I'm kidding. Make it happen.
All right. It's just
It's not ruined.
It's not too much. Now I feel as though I've, upset the apple cart.
No, Ed. I got defensive when you said, I said go back to Fairfax because that's like a slap in my face. I said, we've only been here a month. He's like, exactly. Okay, what's so great about the other place as opposed to this place?
No, what it is, I think, the fact that we would have to go through 6 levels of management to even, to even bring a birthday cake into a place like this. And now there's no one.
Okay.
Because we can do whatever, when I came in the first day, this is a follow-up to this, the day of the receptionist, when I came in that way, we don't need a receptionist here. We have no need for a receptionist here. We really don't. But the fact is, it was just like, we can do whatever we want.
Okay.
Your attraction to this move is what's in front of you, the state-of-the-art equipment.
That's right.
And the fact that you don't have to deal with any management. Mine is kind of it's a little different perspective that we can come in here and we can just, do whatever we want. We have people coming and going and make it almost like the old days of radio when it was goofy.
I'm sorry I said go back
to Fairfax. Thank you.
Have your barber day. Have fun with it.
I mean, imagine how horrible.
Run with it.
Imagine how horrible that would be if I went back to Fairfax. For me, I'd be the only one there.
Sitting in a room by yourself.
Jesus Christ.
You'd be like Leah.
Now, if you want to put a microphone in my bedroom, then we can talk.
Okay, well, then we're buds.
Now, that's pompous.
And you will get your barber day.
Everybody wants it.
But can we at least call it Mike O'Mara's barber day?
Yeah, but you bet your ass you can. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
And you're still, even though you and Rob have said you're not interested, if you come in and you just got, what if you want just a little shave?
Right.
With the straight razor.
Just because we can. So when are you going to make this happen, Tex?
I'd like to do it next Wednesday. I mean, I just got a haircut last week. Uh-huh. I'd love to have a little trim. I'd love to have a little trim next Wednesday. Or any day next week that's convenient, John.
John, I got a girl who is like, she sent me 4 emails. She's dying to do it.
Hold on, when's our Elvis death show?
That's Wednesday.
How about any day except Wednesday?
Doesn't matter. Well, it's not going to be on the air, though.
That's true.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the show.
Elvis had his own barber, Larry Geller, so it sort of fits.
Okay, fine. The only thing...
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
The only way it'll affect the show is we'll, of course, talk about Barber Day. Other than that, forget it. It won't be happening on the air. And really, from that standpoint, it's not interfering with the show at all.
Okay. There's one other way it'll affect the show, is that everyone is going to look great.
Except you and me.
Hey, I think we already look great.
There you go.
Amen. You're right, Baldy.
What if you don't find your gold card by then?
Thanks, Shaggy.
Maybe it'll even be convenient for you.
I'd rather be known as Shaggy than Baldy.
And how about this? Just a moment ago, Mike was talking about how fast my hair grows.
Well, you know what? I think both of you...
I think he was making a joke there, Chia Pet.
I don't care. I don't care
about this attack that I've endured here. I am going to tell you that on Barber Day, on Mike O'Mara's Barber Day, you both are cordially invited to change your minds, and I invite you both to come up to the temporary salon that's at the top of the stairs.
Mike's spa.
And is hey, is there enough room up there to set up a
yes,
like a chair?
We've got tons of room up there.
Yeah. It'll
tons
be perfect upstairs.
You can put it on the dance floor as you enter your office.
Mm-hmm. I guess they couldn't do a shampoo up there, though, could they?
No. No, we only have one spigot.
And the garden hose. That's a shame.
You could cut in the bathroom.
There's room in the bathroom.
Room. You could put a barber chair in there.
Yeah. Shame. What, the barber day?
No, that we won't be able to get our hair shampooed.
Well, you know, if you want the whole thing shampooed, cut and a blow dry.
Otherwise, it's going to itch in your collar the rest of the day.
Okay, well, happy barber day.
Thank you.
And, if, you know, really, if you were any kind of a producer, what you would do to try to tie this together is try to get, like, either Rondé Barber or Tiki Barber to actually at least get them on the phone to at least say...
Or Barbaro.
Yeah, you get Barbara on the phone, and I swear to God, I'll never play a King Kong tape again. You get Barbara on the phone to say...
Well, he can do that with any horse.
Noble Johnson.
How the hell are we going to tell the difference between them?
No, I get the... between who?
Barbara.
Oh, I thought you were talking about. I thought you were talking about the barbers.
You can go down to Pimlico and just walk down the stables and just mic them, and they go.
Because you know, Rondé and Tiki Barber are identical twins.
Are they still playing?
Yes,
they're still in the NFL.
Yes, Tiki plays for the Giants, and Rondé just signed a big contract with Tampa Bay.
Happy Barber Day!
So make that happen.
You got it.
Come on, do your job, Vaughn.
And we got the ladies, so we're all set for next Wednesday.
Excuse moi.
And watch me be late.
that
is true. Because seriously, you know what you're talking
about? 100% lock.
That is the one where...
That's my lock of the year.
I come walking in like super late and forget Barber Day.
Oops.
Now that could happen.
And that was almost like a haircutting joke. Lock of the year.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes. One of those guys on Sunday morning. I like the Chiefs this weekend against the Broncos, but my lock of the week is Mike O'Mara will not be an on time for Barber Day. Call my number right now. 1-888 bet on Mike.
God, I hope nothing comes up.
I really do.
Because you know, if there's a grease fire at your restaurant, you know what's going to happen.
Look around, Cafe.
If you guys run
I
out
walk in and go, hey, it's Barber Day. I don't give a damn.
That'll be the truth.
I don't know. It's going to be fun. I think, and I just hope you guys, you know, somehow still stay shaggy and come in and enjoy.
I'll work it up for you, Mike. It's important to you.
I'll stop by.
Don't worry, where do you?
And we'll sing. We'll sing in a quartet.
Thanks so much.
You're my buddy.
I appreciate it. Right back at you. I appreciate it.
See you in Fairfax.
All right, let's break.
All right. This has been 1 hour.
Yeah.
This has been one freaking hour.
Oh, man, I'm exhausted.
Your money's worth. We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Don, Joe Theismann. How you doing, buddy? I listen to your show every morning. I'm sitting at my farm. And I just heard the story about McMahon, and let me explain something to you. Okay, first of all, I've been there. See, you haven't been here for a short period of time. Yeah, it is me, Don. I'm not kidding. I'm flat square on. I love your program in the morning, but you don't really know what Joe Theismann's like. You ever been in the Super Bowl?
Oh.
The Don and Mike Show.
Game, set, match.
Yeah.
Winner.
Joe Theismann.
And then both all ye who enter here, the Don and Mike Show.
What did that say? Because earlier today, maybe it's happening right now, was talking on the morning, this morning on the phone with one of my friends from the Baltimore Ravens. The people that run that team are very, very nice to me. I still don't know why.
Going to make it up there for a few games this season?
Was planning my visits to Baltimore this year to go see the mighty Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned that they were having some type of a scrimmage today, and that Tony Kornheiser, Joe Theismann, and Mike Tirico were there doing a test, Monday Night Football. The guy at the Ravens said that, best of his understanding, they've never done Obviously, they've never done a real game.
Right. I think what they've done is they have done it with video.
With tape. That's how they break these guys in. So the first Monday Night Football game with Tony Kornheiser will be Monday night, and he's running the test right now.
Wow. Cool.
With Theismann.
Well, I hope they kick ass. I really do.
Yeah. Me too. There was a game on last night. My God, tonight when I go home, I got my choice of three games in beautiful high def. I've got the Giants on one channel, the Jets on the other channel. I've got the Atlanta Falcons on the other channel.
It's here. It's official. It's here.
It simply is the best time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there's just football everywhere. So thank you, God, for that. During the break, I looked at the fan site. I look at our fan site a couple of times a week.
Right.
And I saw, I am just getting killed. I'm getting killed about two things. First, I'm getting killed about my tattoo with people who don't like it and people who don't understand why I got it. And the other thing I'm getting killed about is Barber Day.
Oh. Wow. You're getting killed about Barber Day?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said myself on the air that it's pompous of me and cheap of me to want to get a card from Haircuttery.
You didn't, right?
Although that's what a lot of the responses seem to be. It's like people, big block letters, you know.
Okay.
Let Mike have his Barber Day.
Well, you did.
Oh, I know, but
it's been resolved already.
Just pointing out, I'm getting killed on the message board.
They're fighting that battle on the internet.
Because I'm just getting killed there.
See, what they want is they want a battle, even though the battle is over.
Right.
And, I'm so proud that I fought for Barber Day. It was so such a battle and such a struggle. You know, whatever.
Not a hollow.
Whatever. I really do. I there's only one thing about Barber Day. I really, really hope I remember. And I will say, seriously, you know how you do this? No one, Rob, you included, nobody here, nobody remind me.
Okay.
You don't want the Barber
It's next
call.
Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
The plan.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying anything now.
Well, I'm not arranging it. I don't know. I think it's next Wednesday. And I still think, like, even out in Cancer Corner, I was the most excited about it. I believe so.
I think it has potential.
I hope that I remember.
The fan site's behind you, Mike.
What do you think? Getting in here at 2 o'clock is legitimate for Barber Day if 1:30?
No, I know.
What, Robbie?
I know the best way you can, A, be on time and also guaranteed not to forget it,
right,
is do Barber Day after the show.
You're an ass. You are a silly ass. Okay. I owe you, Jimmy Beam.
Pretty convenient.
I owe you. Oh, that's an ass. Because you know what? I do get here a little earlier than I used to at the other place, but that will never happen.
You never stay after.
They could be handing out the golden tickets. I'm not proud of that.
Okay. So now that we move past that.
Yeah.
May I really make your Friday?
Oh, really? Oh, good, good, good.
And
you've already made it, though, because we came to an understanding. So, I mean, I don't know how it can get better.
Well, Mike, I guarantee it can.
Okay.
I guarantee this 1 million times or your money back.
All right, very good.
My complaint about Barber Day, my radio guy complaint, was that it was something that would not be on the radio because it's boring to hear it. And you threw it back. Well, you got your hair cut on the radio before. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you used to get your hair cut on the radio. We used to interview Playmates on the air.
So you, right?
Neither one was really radio worthy.
I agree. So you got your Barber Day.
Right.
And what I was dying to tell you at the time was, and we got caught up in the heat of the moment there,
right,
that there's so many more things that we can do here now.
Yes.
Besides having Barber Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I want you to close your eyes for a minute.
All right. I think I might know what it is.
You think
I don't
so?
Know. I'm
you
pretty excited.
So?
Pretty good.
I think so? Okay.
Where is
Open
he?
Your eyes. Merry Christmas.
Jarth!
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, baby!
We want to thank
Jarth, the whole box, royal box.
We're playing Jarth today.
I'd love to see a date on that box. That looks like a vintage set.
We are going outside today to play Jarth.
Indeed.
We want to thank loyal listener Glenn Rigby.
Thank you,
Look
Glenn.
At that vintage package. Who brought this package. Game. Bye. Now.
That lethal product.
Perfect condition.
These are your Jarths.
The price is still on.
Yeah, how much was it?
$3.49 at Caldor.
$3.49.
There is... I'm telling you, this is dangerous.
Oh,
look at Mike, take a Jarth.
Yeah. These things are...
You couldn't take one on an airplane.
These are... It says, official size and weight, an outdoor game of skill for adults.
Now,
you know what?
Something else today, is that
Robbie?
It's illegal. eBay won't let you list the metal ones.
Now,
you're not even allowed to sell them on eBay.
These jarts are...
Well, these are metal, aren't they?
Yeah, but these... A listener dropped off. We didn't get these.
But you know what they've been done? They've been modified. Look.
Oh, what do you mean?
Haven't they? Do you think they've been screwed with? Sharpened?
No, I think they've always been that way.
No. Didn't they have a sharper tip in the old days?
I think this is a sign that they've been used.
Okay, all right.
I see wear on my website. I see use on mine.
Mine has been used.
I see use on mine, and I see use on mine, too.
Hi, use.
He's so shiny, I see both of you use.
The human skull tends to wear down the tips.
So as we described yesterday, what jarts are, they are lawn darts. They are projectiles that you throw up. Now, listen to this. That has a hard, sharp edge on it.
How heavy are they?
You almost said that like these.
Ooh, Don, how heavy are they?
I would guesstimate they've probably a pound and a half to 2 pounds.
A pound and a half, 20 ounces. Ooh.
So, I mean, what they're designed to do is you throw them underhanded, they go way up in the air, and then they come down and you get it into the target.
So, and you get these little
hula target.
You get these hula hoops that you put together.
Marty, rubber rings.
Here's one of the little hula hoops.
Yeah, and they definitely have been used, you can tell.
See. Now, here's what the box says.
These are the targets.
Because this is from when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Slider jarts. Warning, not toys for use by children. Even right. though we all used them when we were kids.
Sure. Now they tell
kids.
Us.
May cause serious or fatal injury.
Ah.
Let's see how to play.
Same can be said for gasoline.
Yeah, I'd love to play by the rules. It's a pretty simple game.
There you go, Mike. An outdoor game of skill for adults.
Okay.
To participate in the world of jarts, you require good coordination and skill, which can be developed by careful practice.
Mm-hmm.
The object of the game is to land the jarts inside or as close to the target as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you can see, it has the picture of the guy. The target is 35 feet away.
Is that the standard length that you're supposed to shoot the jarts?
Mm-hmm. They indicate that you are supposed to throw this killing missile 10 to 12 feet in the air.
You know, you can feel, if you just put it up against you,
you can see like when your forehead.
You can see where it would go into somebody's temple or eye.
Yeah.
I mean, these were lethal.
So they're saying what you want to do is throw it 12 feet in the air, and they've got a little diagram here.
An arc.
Where it shows the guy throwing the thing up, 12 feet in the air, and it comes right down to the ground.
Because in order to get it that distance, you got to get some air under it. Right?
Because what they look like are,
They're like darts you would throw, but they're huge.
On steroids. Imagine darts that look like stealth fighters.
They look like big blow darts from a Charlie Chan movie.
And obviously it's two red ones and two yellow ones for the competition.
For team play.
Yeah. Hold on, let me see if I can find the instructions.
I think the instructions are on the box.
The box is in perfect condition.
Well, it says, before you play the game, it's necessary to read and understand the detailed printed instructions included inside the package.
Do you read the warning that's on the plastic wing of the jar? Not a toy for use by children, may cause serious or fatal injury.
Yeah.
Read instructions carefully. So how far back from the target do you stand?
30
feet. 30 feet.
25 to 35
25
feet.
To 30, and you throw it 12 feet into the air in an arch.
Now, I'd like to know. Well, you know what that is.
It's like a modified version of horseshoes.
They really are. There are no printed...
Are there two targets that came with it?
Yeah. Point three, point
one smaller than the other?
No, it's just a point of reference. You stand in... In the first one,
I think I know this is where the fatality is.
You throw it to the second one.
Because what those are two identical targets that you would space 30 feet apart. And so the reason people were killed is because your opponent would stand at the far end, thus not requiring retrieval, see.
Correct.
You want to try to keep the other guy's jarred out of the circle, whatever way possible.
And then in round two, you catch them.
Now, beautifully aerodynamic.
Oh, yes.
The question is really, besides us, who remembers jarts?
I believe lawn dart. Would they also be called lawn darts?
Yes.
Was there another variation of them that was called lawn darts?
Mm-hmm. And these are special. These are called slider jarts. And as you can see, the metal tip actually moves back and forth on
I think, are they called on the package slider darts? Because I think they're a different, there were bigger jarts,
these are modified.
These would be, I think, I'm no expert on these things, but I would guess that these would probably be the last generation of jarts allowed on the market.
I think you're right.
And the ones that they tried to spiff up, you know, with this sliding bullet on the end of this thing.
Right.
That really could just go right through some kid's head.
And there's really
like a knife through warm butter.
It's a safety tip because after about an inch and a half, it gets thicker.
Yep.
So it could really only penetrate your skull by like 2 inches.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah, but the I do think that out there somewhere, there are also jarts that were far more lethal.
Oh, there were. The ones that you and I played with, Mike,
right.
I'm sure you're thinking like me, they were totally made of metal.
They were metal, and they also, it was a dart point on the end of them.
Yes, I mean, these have some plastic on them.
Yeah.
The other ones had no, like, these have plastic wings.
Right.
When we were kids, the wings were made of metal, too.
Wow. I still think that if you caught this, like, on a 12-foot arc, this could definitely put your eye out.
Oh, sure.
No question about that. No.
Are you kidding? Yeah. This could go through your skull.
It'd kill you.
That's my skull.
It'd flat out kill you.
I mean, it hurts. I'm so jarts.
Oh, man, I love jarts.
All right, well, let's ready to go outside and play some jarts.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I remember growing up with jarts, man.
Okay, and thank you.
All right, thank you for sharing the story.
Bye.
Sorry about the injury.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I have a great jart story.
Okay, tell us your jart story.
Okay.
Okay. I lived in Long Island, New York, and this was probably 1968-69.
Okay.
We lived in Sands Point, Long Island. Next door to the people my mom worked for was Emerson Boozer.
I remember Emerson Boozer.
Formerly of the New York Jets.
You bet.
You bet. We drive down to go, all the kids, hey, they're having a party. Joe Namath is there. We look over the fence. They're all playing jarts.
Joe Namath played jarts.
Yep.
Was he struggling?
I was about 7 years old.
I would imagine that, seriously, in those days, when they were more dangerous jarts because they had the pointed end, drinking and playing jarts was probably a really bad idea.
But back then, kids didn't drink like they do now.
Right.
Exactly. Now 7-year-olds get drunk. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, this is Drew. I got my set of jarts for my 10th birthday in the summer of 78. Mm-hmm. And
now we've covered a length of 10 years now. We've got one decade of jarts because the other guy said 68 and you're saying 78.
I got them for my 10th birthday. This is the best non-lethal jart story you will hear.
Okay.
Nice quality.
All right, go ahead.
So I'm standing, my brother and I are at either end of the front yard. I'm over by the neighbor's yard throwing towards my brother, the opponent, who's next to the driveway. I haul back and let this fucker whip after playing for a little while, try to get as much air underneath as possible. Thing sails up, clears my brother's head, comes straight down at a dead-on 90-degree angle, right through the hood of the Oldsmobile station wagon.
Wow.
It stuck straight up.
So we have now established the fact that, yes, the lethality of jarts where they could go through sheet metal.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking the old kind of station wagon with the wood panel on the side, too.
Now, I'm
the Oldsmobile
just,
Delta 88 station wagon.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission banned jarts in the United States in December of 1988.
That's 20 years they took to figure it out.
The end of the jart.
But John has just found on the internet there is an upcoming jarts tournament. So it still exists.
Sure.
Is it like an under? Is it like?
Yeah, but they must not. They must not sell them anymore.
Right.
Right, Yanni.
No, you can't buy them anymore. But you can pull up. I'm trying to figure out where they have this.
What?
Thank you once again. The dynamic John Norman and Rob. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Didn't know you were going to talk to him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I have a jart story.
Okay.
Well, I grew up in Connecticut, much like Mike,
and
all I remember is the jarts nightmare, because as kids, my family loved to play the jarts at the outdoor barbecue, and they would, I just remember, like, get out of the way, screaming, getting screamed at, like, jarts was my nightmare, because you could just be walking and the jar would be flying at you.
You know what, you're right, and it was always like at a family gathering.
Yeah, and there would be little ones around, and that's why it was always like a 5-year-old that ended up buying a farm doing it.
Watch out! The jar's coming down!
Yeah. You know, meanwhile, you got Dad with a beer that's throwing this thing 30 feet up into the air.
That's how it ended.
What could possibly go wrong?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi. Last call here, and then we are going to go outside and play some jarts.
I have a story that we used to sharpen them with our father's grinder.
to make them
penetrate better into the ground.
Right, make them more fun.
Well, you know, that was part of the problem, part of the challenge of jarts was throwing them high enough
to get the velocity to go into the ground.
So that when they came down, they would come down fast enough, right, to just stick right in the grass.
If I remember about jarts, wasn't the rule they had to stick in the ground? You couldn't, like, have them lying down.
You could not. They had to be. And do you remember, like, arguing with a guy if it would be stuck at an angle?
And leaning on the ground?
And the big metal...
The wing.
Wing of it would be outside the circle.
Mm-hmm.
You could stand there with your friends for an hour and argue about
it. You want a total perpendicular entry into the ground for a jart.
And if you get them real sharp, you can play on asphalt.
You could. Technically, you're right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Howdy.
We're in a crowd of people.
Now, I remember a jart story. I took in fruits and jarts and killed this guy cat. It was my neighbor, and it was an accident. I said, hey, let's kill the cat. But I accidentally hit the cat.
Well, did you get the cat with an arc, or did you, like, throw the jart like a dart?
I threw it like a dart.
Oh, you're right. That is a good story. Thank you.
See, not only just the danger of the game itself, but it could be used as a weapon, right?
Not in my show.
Maybe the cat was in the circle.
I tell you what, friends.
Hello?
I tell you what. I guarantee you, no way you could carry this in your carry-on luggage.
Right.
No.
No way could you carry a jart on an airplane.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if it had gel on it,
forget it.
I have a question about the jarts that we have here.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to wedge the plastic tail up to the nipple here so that it stays steady?
No, I would say you do it like this.
Okay,
So you get... You can hold on for the tip and throw it like...
What does it say on the box?
What's the
box.
Guy in the picture doing?
We'll tell you.
I thought you held it by the feather, actually.
No. The guy in the picture is holding it like this. He's holding it by the stick.
Uh-huh.
He's pushed the feather all the way up by the head of it.
Ah.
All right. You see that?
Well, so
you
throw it with the stick. It depends on how they fly. Put the feather by the head.
Like this. I'll try it in the ceiling right now.
Keep them good luck.
It didn't stick in the ceiling, but it made a hole in the ceiling.
It's too heavy to stay up there.
Yeah, gravity was your enemy there.
Always is.
That was not a good idea.
No, but it was a good idea.
That was not a good idea. That's the first piece of damage in our brand new pristine studios.
And the tiles were so perfect.
Friggin' hole in the wall.
The tiles were so perfect.
Hole in the ceiling.
Now we have to order a ceiling tile.
Wow, so I can't wait to play.
Jart Man, are you still there?
No.
No? Hello? Yes. All right, well, adios.
All right, good.
Adios, my friend. When we come back, we're going outside.
Do we have a jart arena, a jart track?
We will be between the roads, Old Georgetown Road and Montrose, in Rockville Pike, just that flat area.
Oh, that's where all the commuters are going by. That adds an element of danger as well.
I'm going to move my car.
All right, Rob, go get the course set up.
Yes, I only have 9 minutes.
We have, we have four jarts, which means... No waiting.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on by.
One of us on the... Now, are we going to do teams, or are we going to do individual competition here?
Oh, I think it should be you and I against the other boys.
Ah, that's a good idea.
Sounds like right.
Very good. Fantastic.
What could possibly go wrong?
and that way, also, if you and I are on the same team, I think it helps the odds that neither one of us gets taken out by a jart.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you and I are together, we can see and go, hey... Come on, let's run this way.
And when the police are called, we can blame the other guys.
Right.
Perfect, and come back in here. And
like we always do.
Absolutely.
We always do.
That's our plan as well.
They did it. Don't hurt me.
Please notify Infinity Healthcare.
We'll be back with jarts. Yes.
Yeah.
The summer of jarts. And then Barber Day.
That you're getting killed on.
We'll be right back. I am. Effers. Internet effers. We'll be right back.
Number
friends.
4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What are you doing here, Uncle Rico?
Grandma took a little spill at the sand dunes today. Broke her cockyx.
What? Since when did she go to the dunes?
Looks like there's a lot you don't know about.
Yeah,
well. She
takes my money.
Let me tell you about Uncle Rico. He got busted. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope when he was busted, he was throwing the football.
I do.
Videotaping himself.
Right.
God. Rico.
damage.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, friends. George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Right. All right, Kanye.
Excuse me, Conway.
Conway, yes.
Conway, yes. I think we're ready to go outside.
Very good.
Mike and I have talked about the Rob. What's that say? Where's the melody? Okay. I think we've divvied up the teams
pretty
evenly.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be Mike and I against Rob and Buzz.
All right. And depending on how this goes, I think disputes on the show with listeners, with whoever, perhaps because we have the courtyard over here that's perfect, all disputes from this point forward should be settled by Jarts.
On Barbara Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've had enough ideas for today.
No, hold on.
Stellar, fantastic ideas.
Hold on.
All right, are we...
Yeah, Mike, you go wireless first,
right,
and I'll get you set up and set your level.
Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. How does that sound? Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Good.
All right, Buzz, get your...
Should I make my way over to the courtyard?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. I'll be right
there. All right,
there.
Very good.
Hold on, let me just turn that off.
Sounds excellent.
Sounds awesome, guys.
Testing 1, 2.
Joe Artinger to the air studio. Joe Artinger to the air studio.
Is that on the air, Rob?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm able to hear everything.
There we go. All right, we all got our microphones now.
You're going wireless, Don?
We're all outside.
What a glorious, fabulous, spectacular, incredible day this is.
Perfect. I told you yesterday.
To be in Rockville, Maryland.
I told you yesterday. You kept saying it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain.
I don't know what I was thinking.
It's going to be beautiful.
I had no idea what I was thinking.
It's a good thing that I didn't take you up on that bet.
Well, I think the real clear air has, provided us with a clearer head so you can come up with those cockamamie ideas like Barber Day.
You know what I love? Right by where we're going to be having our Jarts tournament.
Right.
Big sign. Down for traffic. No trespassing. State Highway Administration.
Yeah,
we're not trespassing. We're competing.
Now, don't you think that that's really designed for...
We got to watch out for
There's our course.
We got to watch out for the power cords.
Over here. We'll be fine. Don't you think that that's probably designed so this area doesn't become a like a little squatter's park or whatever they used to call it in the 30s?
Yeah, you can... This seems like a place where maybe you could score something on a
weekend.
Hold
on a second. All right, here we go.
Needle Park.
Mike is measuring off our distance.
Look, the Navy's here.
Oh, the guy... Are you the same guy that came by the last time we came outside? The guy in the sailor suit? Gotcha, friend.
Man, this is some. You know what? This is some serious firm ground out here. This is terra firma.
Yep. This will be a test of the Jarts.
Jarts?
Here we go. Oh, hi, Johnny. Here's me with my Jart.
Hi.
Hi. It's a Jart.
Buzz, I guess we get to the far side of the court.
The red
Thank
team?
You for your service to our country, young man.
Come on over and you can...
I'm not standing in their way.
You stand over here, but
you have to stand at your. It's you and Rob against Don and me.
I understand.
You can be the impartial observer. What's your name?
I'm Bob.
And Bob, what's your rank in the Navy?
I'm an E6, first class petty officer.
And Bob, let me ask you a question. Are you big into wagering?
I do wager and usually lose quite often.
Ah, right now, as it stands, you're looking at the two of us and the two of them. This is the competition right here. If you were a betting person, what would be your gut right now?
Buzz Burbank.
You think Buzz is the natural athletic ability? Oh, you are so
I
wrong.
Hope you don't get sent to Iraq.
Yeah, we don't want to put you in any intelligence outfits, that's for sure.
We won't now.
Now,
you could be good, Buzz. Your sport.
Will you attest for everybody that these are regulation Jarts and that this thing is heavy? Take it. Go ahead, hold on.
Official Jarts regulation sponsor, I would say yes. These are official Jarts.
Do you have anything like that on the USS Indianapolis?
I don't think he can hear you, Rob.
Are you on the NRD Philadelphia? Is that your ship?
For Navy Recruiting District Philadelphia. I recruit out of Baltimore, Maryland.
I got you.
How many men went into the water? How many came out? The Sharks got the rest.
Let's play.
Just to say, these Jarts have been certified by the United States Navy.
Thank you, Mike. I think, who wants to go first, red team or yellow team?
How about the red team goes first?
Before fires. So
Rob, speed bump. Well, now it's...
All right, now the idea, what is now? Is the rule to stand in back of your circle?
I think anywhere behind your circle would
anywhere,
be legal.
Anywhere behind your circle.
No, hold
first.
On a second. It seems to me they should be farther apart. Is that...
That's 30 feet.
30 feet.
I agree, but I think really you're going to see that the degree of difficulty is significant even from this small... But you know what? We've got plenty of room.
Right.
I don't know how our range is, but
Mike,
go crazy.
Can you and I warm up for a second?
Yeah.
Hey, Buzz, get out of the way.
All right. All right, here we go.
Get out of the way.
Tell us twice.
Now, I'm really going to try to watch out for this power cord.
Where are you throwing? Do you want to warm up back here from the regular distance?
Hey, Mike, can you hold my microphone for a second?
Yes, absolutely.
Don is going to throw his dart. He's going to try to get
a test toss.
All right, here we go. There, oh, there it goes. Oh, and it's up and perfect
in the ground.
That's good form.
That's how you do it.
That is really, really good form.
Now, hold on. Let me just get this thing.
Okay.
Over here and plunk this out. See if you can get the sound of it. Listen to this.
There it is. That went deep into the ground.
Sure
no
did.
Problem. So because you got the arc on it, that worked very well.
It's all in the wrist. Mike, you want to...
I'm going to try the target. I'm going to try a little target run here.
All right. Good luck, Mike.
Here we are. Okay. All right. All right. One, two, three.
I'm kidding,
of course. Okay. The sailor enjoyed that. Did you enjoy that? That's a little slapstick for you.
Mike dropped it.
And boy, these condos are coming along beautifully, aren't they? All right, here we go.
The sign's nice.
Okay. Oh, that was terrible. But it's stuck.
It's stuck.
You know what? You got to have a little technique. You know what? That 30 feet is perfect.
Buzz, you want to give it a...
I'd like a practice shot.
I think everybody gets a practice jart.
All right.
All right, Buzz, go ahead.
Does someone want to mic the target?
Let's see how this goes.
I'll lay my microphone right down on the target.
I'll be brave enough to stand underneath. Go ahead,
okay.
Buzz.
All right. Here this could be serious.
Here we go.
Oh, nice. Jesus.
Almost got them.
Best throw yet.
Not bad.
That's why people were killed this game.
All right, Rob, your turn. Mike and I will again try to stand by it and get the sound of it.
I'm going to look for a 12-foot arc.
All right.
Here we go.
Look at that big guy.
Ah, terrible. Worst throw of the
day.
Right,
enough of this pansying around
it's
here.
Time to play.
Time to play serious jarts.
Time to play jarts.
What's on the line here, Bob? Tonight, the jart players will be playing for... Who knows?
Jarts.
A brand new condo. The M Condominiums. Yes.
Mike, I'm playing for R of R.
R of R?
Retards of Rockville.
Retards of Rockville.
I'm playing for a young boy named Tom Gavin tonight.
I'm playing for the NWGA, the National Weight Gain Association. I know that they're a fine cause. And Rob, who will you be playing for today?
The North American Haircutters.
Very good. Buzz, who will you be playing
for? The United Negro College Fund?
Oh, yeah, that's
always
right.
Adult Film Stars of America.
All right, very good.
I can hold my microphone. I'll
yes. Are you, Don, we will begin with Don. Don, this is your first legitimate dart. You want to go over by it and mic it, Rob? Or?
More than anything.
Here we go. One. Well, I'm not going to count for you.
Dreams of this.
Oh.
Very close.
Did not penetrate the earth, though.
Oh, it did not penetrate?
No penetration.
Do we do teams or do we go back and forth? I think we go back and forth.
Oh, you're right. It's but either that's Buzz or Rob's turn.
I'll go because I'm closer.
Mine landed about 5 feet away. And
not three.
Rob's right. It did not penetrate.
All right.
Closer than
because
that.
Rob...
No!
Very nice.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Rob.
Now, 5 feet away.
If I remember my jarts because mine didn't go in...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If Rob's is the closest and didn't go in, he wins.
Okay, the first round.
Yeah, closest.
It'll be 1-0.
Right. Okay, come on, Mike. Make it happen now. Here we go. Yeah. It's Mike and...
Oh!
Hey, goddamn good one.
There we are.
Mike, you're...
6 inches away from the
target. 6 inches away from the target.
Right. You're much closer.
Perfect 1-0. Penetration.
Are we going to play best of something?
We'll play best of three.
All right, here comes Buzz.
All right, here comes mine.
Here he comes. And
a wild one.
I'm sorry, that's not as close as mine.
Overstuck. We won the first round.
Advantage O'Mara.
Hey, Don, I think we switch colors now.
Oh.
We switch. That's the way it works, so we don't have to walk all the way over there.
Okay.
All right. Convenient.
If it's a lazy shortcut, count on me. Count on me for that one. No problem at all.
Now, do we reverse order so Buzz goes first?
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay.
Oh, Buzz. My God.
What, Mike?
We're in a freshly mowed field just off the highway, and I believe I see a human hand. No. I'm kidding.
All right, here's Buzz. Here comes Buzz.
Here we go.
And,
whoa!
I think I seriously just found the Black Dahlia.
Buzz, let me mark that with my feet. That's one, two. That's like 2.5 feet away.
That's a good talk.
Not bad. All right, Mike, you hold my microphone?
Yep, go ahead. Here we go. We're playing jarts on Rockville Pike. What a lovely day for it. Oh, good!
In the circle!
Absolutely
in
perfect.
In the circle!
Oh! 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 In your face, B-Wag! In your face, Burbank!
Wow. You did it.
Touchdown!
Wow.
Unbelievable! Touchdown! Oakland Raiders, the holy roller!
Yes, sirree.
Look at that!
Ma'am, you're going to always be able to tell that baby of yours she was here when the first successful dart bullseye was had.
Get that picture, John.
Damn.
Look at that. You know why that happened, Mike? My calves.
That's incredible.
Right. The immaculate reception.
That is incredible because really we cannot stress enough the degree of difficulty to get it. I mean, what would be the diameter of that circle?
I would call that an 18-inch diameter.
Yep. 18 inches, 30 feet away.
It's about as big as Kirstie Alley's vagina.
But you know what? The competition continues.
One of them, anyway.
So we can tie.
All right.
All right.
Right, because she's got two.
That's bucks. Right. Okay.
The room.
Here comes Rob Spiewak. If Rob gets it in the circle.
No, Rob.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
No penetration.
No penetration.
And now, even though it's a moot point, Don.
It is. Mike, come on, get it in.
Let's see if I can do it. I'd love
better
to match you with
this.
Get
it in.
All right, here we go.
Here you go, Mike.
Oh!
Mike, you are
8 inches away, maybe.
Less than that.
Wow.
What? You guys are really besting us.
You're like 4 inches away from the hole, Mike.
This time, Rob.
Well, you know what you want to do? You want to try harder. All right, we're switching now.
Right.
We're switching.
So it's O'Mara Geronimo.
Do you want to switch sides, Don? You want to switch sides? And
fine.
Don and well, you want to do it from this side now? Hi, how are you? How are you doing?
2-0.
All right, boys, back down to the other side.
All right, here we go. Don and Mike have the red jarts.
We're back to yellow.
Oh, look, a hypodermic needle. Let's play with it.
It's been used.
Can I just take 1 second and do it the way we did when we were kids?
Okay.
Over here? Just let me just see how
wait,
high
in the yeah, air. Yeah. We could do it out in that field out there.
That's wild throw.
Right, you want, all right. Very good. Here it goes. Wing it.
Chuck it.
Here we go. That's the way.
Breeze at his back. It's in
the over his shoulder. All right. Good stuff. That's the way to play charts, and that's when they were pointy, and they had
and
the pointy end.
That
was almost a Tom Gavin clap.
That was a Tom Gavin clap.
That thing goes straight up and goes about 15 yards the other way.
Right.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, I like the real funny things you find in these abandoned fields next to the highway.
Now, who have you found?
I'm just finding. I'm finding what looks to be some sort of sheath. Some sort of sheath.
All right,
Buzz.
If you can find any evidence of the old arrow.
I think I saw Jimmy Hoffa.
All right, Buzz, you're going first in this round. Incidentally, the score, Don and Mike 2, Rob and Buzz, zippy.
We've already won.
That's right. Well, we'll see about that.
Best.
All right, here comes Buzz.
11, right?
Buzz with the low trajectory, but not really working.
No penetration, Buzz.
Don, you're up next.
Behold every second.
Story of my week.
Don is using the concentration technique without the microphone in his hand. Let's see what happens. Very close.
Very close.
And
very,
moderate
very close.
Penetration.
Within
it's a
second.
Moderate penetration.
Nothing like that. Moderate penetration. Obviously not what happened to you, ma'am. Just kidding, of course.
Mike's talking to the pregnant lady
over
there.
That's
lady
a lovely baby.
And now here's Rob.
All right, watch out.
Here we go.
Come on, Rob.
Save the day, Rob.
Get her done. Get her done,
a
Rob.
A Spiewak jart player and...
All right.
No penetration.
Not enough arc.
All right, here we go.
Mike, end with a nice hole-in-one.
All right, I'd like to do that this time. Here we go. Here we are.
And it's up and...
Wow. It is gone. It is gone into Rob's foot. It is gone into his foot.
Oh my God. Is there a doctor?
Oh,
like the Academy?
You know, around houses throughout the 70s and early 80s, that sound would always happen, usually at every barbecue where jarts were being played.
You want to just have one? Just throw them up in the air as far as you can, I did?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that is fun. Right. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Here we go.
Always at the same time.
Ready? One.
Hold on, which end are you holding yours by?
You hold it by the black end.
Hold it by the other end, Mike.
I'm sorry, I got all excited.
Okay, ready?
Watch out, Buzz.
Buzz, get out of the way now.
Got
here
it.
We go. Ready, Mike?
Yep.
And, whoa! God damn, look at those things go.
Yeah. Oh, I landed on the rocks. Don't hurt me.
Perfect penetration for Don, though.
Hey, you know what we should have? Seriously, the field's long enough, we should have a distance competition.
We should move the targets farther next time.
Well, I think fun with jarts is about over.
Oh, damn it.
For this time.
Well, the streetlights are coming up.
Man, I really wish we could play longer. Mom! I want to stay out and play. Oh, wait a minute. I found something else here.
What you found now?
Something metal. I think I'm going to get electrocuted. The hell is this?
I have sandals. Let me kick it.
It looks like a motorcycle part or something.
Yeah.
What is this?
It's a winch. Piece of a winch.
It's a piece of a winch?
Yeah.
With a human finger.
Arg.
With a human finger on it.
Well, that's, you know, we actually have some people over here as we head back to work.
Hey, I've got an idea. How about we have the baby crawl across the field? No, I'm kidding.
they thought about the spectacle of jarts.
Now, this is the age that you didn't want to have a child around with jarts. That was very, very dangerous.
Hi, honey. What's your name?
Laura.
And how old is your baby?
She's 6 months.
6 months, you said?
Would you ever let her play with a toy like this jart?
No.
These are... You let me see. Now, you're 6 months. You don't understand what I'm saying, but these are very, very dangerous. Look at the jart. Look at the jart.
Put them in her mouth, I'm sure.
That's serene.
You'd have to rinse it.
I already did.
Oh, she's playing with the microphone,
like that microphone
right now.
And
is the sailor the father? Okay, just checking.
Sure.
And you, my friend, I'm curious what kind of a loser stops by to watch some fastest jockeys play jarts.
Oh, the kind that just enjoys the pathetic display of skill. Like
that's a good answer.
Touché.
You know, you thought a while, you came up, but you came up with the A answer.
Good
that's
answer.
Very good.
What's your name?
Joe.
Now, Joe, what did you think?
I've had these toys when I was a kid, and
jarts so rule.
You want to give it a shot? Come right on, Joe, knock yourself out.
You know, we'll do. Yeah, put the targets out again.
Let our listener go. Let Joe give it a try. I tell you what, Joe, why don't you try to whip that baby as far as you can?
All right, go ahead.
Like when you were a kid. All right, here's Joe, our listener.
Oh, yeah, wow. Baby.
Distance.
Look at that.
Right in.
Now go get it, Joe.
Gee, right.
All right, now what I'm going to do, Joe, Rob's going to have you run and get it, and I'm going to throw the jart as you're running. No, I'm kidding. I want to see the distance. I want to see how much air
try
I can
try to get it far.
Yeah, here we go.
Joe's
as far as he did?
Distance, not height. Through the power lines and...
Oh, all right, let me try one for
penetration.
Distance.
There you go.
Distance is fun. And, you know, this is really because jarts in and of itself, so very boring a game that immediately you'd go to other games that would make it more interesting.
Right.
And that's got the distance. Jarts. Fantastic.
You had more distance than
can you see, though, the evolution of jarts as far as why people would be injured? Because as kids, how long, seriously, on the interest scale would this last with your average 9-year-old?
Listen, first off, you'd be like us. You'd be bored with the little...
Immediately hoops. Bored.
First thing you'd say is, let's move another 30 feet back.
Right. Then it becomes the distance competition, and then what do you want? And you want moving targets.
And then it's like, let's all just throw them up in the air as high as we can and run
them. And it's also going to result in a height contest. And that's no good.
Mm-hmm.
Very right, bad.
Buzz, let's end this. Give it your best shot.
All
go
right.
ahead, Buzz.
Last throw for distance.
All right. See how Buzz does at a distance.
Here he goes. Right,
turn this around.
Here he goes.
There he goes.
Natural athlete. Hold on.
Unfortunately, he didn't even make it across the rock road.
Landed in the rough.
That's a shame.
Technical foul.
That's just such a shame. It truly is. Here comes another. Oh, you missed the competition,
sorry,
sir.
Sorry, you missed it. Show's over.
It was a fantastic little display of skill
who's
we had.
The front should have told you. What's your name?
Steve.
Hey, Steve. Hey, what's your name?
Steve.
What's your name?
Brian.
Brian. Well, you know what?
Hey, I found something else. It's a completely full adult diaper. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, would you guys like to be a part of the show?
Sure.
Okay, do me a favor. Go get those jarts.
Thank you.
Go get those jarts that are about 100 yards away.
And congratulations. Them. Seriously, you know, it's really not worth it unless... Oh, everybody get across the road quickly, please. It's really not a true jart segment unless somebody gets a bullseye and you did
that
it.
That was dumb luck.
Very nicely done.
Dumb freaking luck.
But man, do I understand how people can get burned on it real quick.
Not me.
Oh, hello, baby.
You know, drinking would help that a lot, though.
And you know what? And that's what dads used to do because jarts would be boring and it's more fun when you drink.
Wouldn't it be great?
Now, really,
tie Tom to a chair. Tie Dennis to a chair.
And see if we can cure them.
Tie Dave to a chair and tie Robert the mailman to a chair and see who can come closest. It's like right. In golf, that closest to the pin.
Try to get it between.
All right, you say you got Tom, Gavin, Dennis Murphy, and Robert the angry mailman.
Right.
Who does the jart bounce off of?
Robert Mailman? Bulletproof.
I think so. Yeah. Absolutely. I think there's no question about that.
We've already found out that Dave's head is not unbreakable.
Yeah, he had that nasty fall in the kiddie pool.
Anybody hear from him?
This is the fun zone at Carnival Studios here.
You know, as we walk back into the building, we get all the weird looks from the people who have offices in this complex.
And that don't have a clue what these two fat guys are doing with microphones in their hands.
Now they just see Rob coming back with a sailor holding freaking jarts in his hand.
So long, Commodore!
Thank you, son of a sailor.
There we go.
Son of a sailor.
Ah, security.
Yes.
My name is CBS.
And we make it back into our studios here on Rob.
Hi, Joe.
Mike.
Don and Mike to break, Joe.
Yeah, we're ready.
Number 4 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
thing tonight been great. Just us boys drinking beer, yelling like idiots, emitting various gases.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting with a utility belt full of fun for ye, Don and Mike.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hello.
Oh, this part
of the show on Westwood One is brought to you by eSurance.com, instant online car insurance. Let's go back to Yanni and the Edlaw Web Center, Edlaw Net Center. The Jarts pictures are up on our website already.
They are, and people are hitting them already.
Cool. All right, good. Thank you very much, Yanni. Now, let me see if this tape will play. Rob, this disc. I put it in machine one.
Chances.
As you requested. Okay, good. So it'll work there.
All right.
That's Sadite. A brief bit of history before we talk about the next thing, which is, do you remember, Mike, I'm going to throw out two names, and I know you remember both of them. Maybe one of them.
Okay.
John Cryer.
Yeah, I remember John Cryer. He was an actor, sitcom. I think we interviewed him once or twice.
We had him on our show a couple of times. Right. He's on that
two and a half men
and a baby.
Right.
Right?
Men.
Let me just put you to a... Have you heard about him?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
Gay or not?
Gay.
Yeah. Okay. I would have voted gay as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, not there's anything wrong with that, of
right.
course.
Very okay. Good. Well,
he just seemed swishy.
This is why it's like a knife in my heart, and it's a kick in my balls.
What?
John Cryer is not gay.
Okay.
John Cryer has moved in with his girlfriend.
Okay.
Los Angeles TV reporter Lisa Joyner.
Wow.
Now,
Don, I am so sorry.
Now, you may remember, let's go back 2 years.
Man, I'm so sorry.
To when I was watching on the West Coast feed, the chick that did the weather on Channel 2 in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
She was such a piece of ass. Talked about her on the radio. We're not on the radio in Los Angeles.
Right.
Here she is talking about our show.
Actors.
On KCBS in Los Angeles. On TV.
Chances that Hoffman's wife would have the same, allergy.
Reaction.
That's just incredible.
Much luckier than that.
Lucky woman. She used up a few of her 9 lots.
Yes, she did. Hey, I just wanted to, because you reminded me, I want to tell you, there's two guys, Don and Mike, they do a show on Westwood One. We don't get it in Los Angeles, but some reason they watch us. They watch us, they're on the East Coast. They watch us, I think, on the early Pacific Coast feed.
I do, baby.
You did.
I did.
She was your lady.
I did.
They call. They get an early CBS feed. Let's go outside. And they, big fans.
Is
the guy.
Radio jockeys?
Radio disc jockeys.
Oh,
and the
radio
one
jocks?
Guy, Don, is apparently a big fan of mine. And I said, yeah, okay, sure. And then, stop kidding, Kevin. I thought it was my brother. And they said, would you like to do a little call-in? And I said, oh, sure, that's fine. So I called in, and I said, prove to me that you're a big fan. He goes, well, I see you at 5:07, then about 5:13, you come on, and about 5:45, you do the morning dish. And I went, okay, creepy. Okay, kind of creepy. Plus, he knew, like, all the old jobs I had and stuff. Anyway, his partner, Mike, said, you know, his wife knows about this, and it's kind of weird. You know, he watches you every morning and stuff. I said, what does your wife think about it? They get her on the phone. She's like, I said, Frida, do you mind that he's kind of obsessive? And she goes, no. You know what? I can't control my husband's fantasies. You want him? You got him. I love her. So I wanted to give a little shout out. Thanks to those guys. If you're in Sacramento or some of their 45 affiliated cities, listen to the Don and Mike show. 62 degrees in Burbank. 65
downtown.
Hottie.
Yeah.
And 61 in
so hot.
What a total piece of ass.
Very nice.
And that was half a fag.
How long? Is there any detail about John Cryer?
He's with Vito from The Sopranos.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, I'm just trying to think.
I mean, is there anything is there a length of time that they've been together?
They have been together over 3 months.
Oh, it's nothing.
John Cryer met Lisa Joyner when he walked past her house.
You could make him a John Cryer.
He saw her gardening, and he stopped to introduce himself.
That'll do it.
Oh, man, what a Hollywood hump.
Yeah.
He just did it like that. What would happen if you and I approached a woman who was gardening?
I think you'd call the police.
Call the police. Dial 911.
I mentioned this a moment ago. Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
From Napoleon Dynamite has been arrested.
Oh. He was a wonderful actor and what just a fantastic performance.
He got busted. He got busted for road rage.
Mm.
Now imagine that.
I can sympathize with that.
Of all the people.
You guys want to see my video?
All the people. You get a fight within your car.
Just when he's showing.
I love this.
Tip the videotape.
Of him going back to pass.
Right.
So what do you think?
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. Man, I wish I could go back in time. I'd take state.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made. Napoleon, like anyone can even know that.
You know what, Napoleon? You can leave. You guys are retarded.
Oh, it's been a while since I've logged any time with that great film.
All we know is that it's road rage. He's the primary aggressor.
And you know what he won't be able to get in jail? A quesadilla.
What are you going to do today, Napoleon?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
Hold on, where's
Cheetah, eat the food.
Throw the pigskin.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Yeah, the coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt.
Rico.
No doubt in my mind.
Vote for Pedro.
You better believe things have been different. I'd have gone pro. A heartbeat. I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere.
Yeah.
Rico. Soaking it up. Ah, that was my soulmate. Kim. I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace. You ever come across anything like time travel?
Easy. I've already looked into it for myself.
Yep.
Right on.
I've already looked into it for myself. It's all coming back to me now, all the great characters. Yeah. LaFonda.
The chapstick part so you can hear Kip.
Oh, the chapstick. Yeah, the chapstick.
All right, hold on.
It's just enough to hear Kip.
Hold on. Yeah,
it's a multi-generational film in my house.
Everyone loves it.
Three generations watch this. Nana, the grandkids, and me.
Hey, could I use your guys' phone for a sec?
Is there anything wrong?
I don't feel very good.
Hi.
Is
there?
No, she's getting her hair done.
He's frustrated.
Yeah.
Sounds like John.
What do you
Norman.
Need?
Can you just go get him for me?
I'm really busy right now.
Well, just tell her to come get me.
Why?
Because I don't feel good.
Well, have you talked to the school nurse?
No, she doesn't know anything.
Will you just come get me?
Well, there we go, Cam.
Oh, you do me a favor.
Then.
What?
Can you bring me my chapstick?
No, Napoleon.
But my lips hurt real bad.
Just borrow some from the school nurse. I know she has like 5 sticks in her drawer.
I'm not gonna use
hers, you sicko.
See ya.
Oh, idiot.
Yeah.
But just borrow some from her. She's got about 5 sticks in the drawer. I'll go. Bye.
Remember when we interviewed that guy? That guy that played Kip and he sounded exactly like he did in the movie?
Absolutely.
Very strange.
All right, thank you, Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
Now, I read something earlier that I think maybe I'd like to do as a contest for the show.
Yeah.
I don't know how legal this is, but we'll see.
All right.
Spanish police have arrested 4 Frenchmen. And this is the new fad now in Europe. What they did was they jump in front of cars on busy roads so that they can film them and post the footage on the internet. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not what I want to do on the radio. These 4 French jokers would jump in front of cars.
That's jokers.
Thank you, Michelle. They jump in front of the car, and their buddy boy with the beret takes the video of the people flipping out.
Swerving and...
Okay.
Great.
So, this is something that's bad.
Yeah.
And they said, stop doing this.
Right.
So, stop doing this.
So now, stop right now.
The young Spaniards have come up with a new one.
Huh?
Which doesn't
involve... Is it Frenchmen or Spaniards?
Well, it happened in Spain. Okay. It was French guys doing this in Spain.
Right.
This made the news in Spain, mm-hmm. and they went on Spanish TV and said, you know, ¿Dónde está Mr. Flanders?
He's very bad.
Yeah, whatever they said.
Don't do this.
Right.
He's as bad as bullfighting.
So now here's the new thing. Kids, primarily teenagers, what they're doing is they're walking up to people on the street. Now, it is a two-man job.
Okay.
What you do is you walk up to someone and you slap them on the ass. You give them a little...
pat on the ass.
How's your father?
Right.
And when they turn around, you have your friend who takes their picture.
Right.
With a camera phone. Rob,
that is wonderful.
We've got to search this because this thing I'm reading says that there are hundreds of websites in the UK alone devoted to what they're now calling happy slapping.
Happy slapping.
Because there have been problems. One guy groped a woman,
right?
And the other guy took the picture.
Well, there's a fine line, I would imagine, right, between a nice little pat and maybe like doing it too hard or groping.
Right. So the bobbies jumped in. The police with no guns,
mm-hmm.
and said,
the big hats.
And they said you absolutely cannot grab somebody's ass, but it's okay to give them a little. Pat on the ass.
A little love tap.
Sure.
Like NFL players do.
And then the friend snaps the picture and it goes right to the website. So, here's the question for you, the Don and Mike show listener. Mm-hmm. This weekend, although, you know, our crab detector would be way off because mm-hmm. how could we possibly be sure that we were getting real shots? You know, and now that I think about it, how come the rest of the world doesn't think like we do?
Well, here's the
always
deal.
Distrusting, because now that I'm thinking about it.
Right.
Well, you could just go out with your friend.
You could have your friend and just get people that you give them $10 and they turn around and look at the camera and go, oh, I'm so mad at you.
You wouldn't even have to do a stranger. You just say to your friend, hey, do me a favor. I want to get in Donna Mike's shorts.
Because the pictures are of people reacting, right?
Yes.
Right. Wow.
Absolutely. Let me see. The Spanish police and government says...
Typical of Europeans, though, isn't it?
They are...
Can't trust them, Rob.
The Spanish police and the local government officials say that they are against jumping in front of cars, but as long as there is no groping, happy slapping is acceptable.
But you're right with the crap detector. Now, I would think on this show, not only could you do the camera, but you could also have audio.
Yeah, but then we got to get their permission to play the audio on the air.
Yeah.
If you just take the picture, you can put a picture on a website.
Right. Would it be before, but we could get it afterwards, right?
Yeah, I guess, but who's going to give their permission? Like if somebody comes up and slaps you on the ass.
They'd be too pissed off.
And takes your picture and then says, and tapes it and says, oh yeah, incidentally, can we play this on TV?
Yeah, you're right.
Play this on the radio?
I was just thinking about cops.
We're not fighting crime.
Yeah, I know.
Not yet.
I'm 30 years late where I bought that Too Hot for TV because it was in Best Buy. It was on its own display case. And
bought Cops Too Hot for TV?
It was just sitting there. It was you know how it's been like TV offer for a million years?
Right.
Well, they had the DVDs just sitting there, and I never ordered it on TV, and so I watched it. And once again, it begs the question we've always said. How in the name of God do people give their consent?
But didn't
we find out when we talked to somebody that you don't need consent?
Yes. The guy from Dateline.
Dateline said that because it's
a matter of public record that they're being arrested.
That they don't have to get their permission. It's only like the people on the outside, the passersby,
right,
where they have to pixelate their faces.
So with happy slapping and the web, it's the web, right? Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's Dodge. It's Dodge City, the web.
Right, but how do we trust people?
Don't know.
So let's see. Let's see if you guys want to do this. Happy slap some people this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Get a picture with your camera phone and send it to us. Send it to
fantastic.
Send it to our website.
And don't do it too hard. Don't grope. Don't hurt anybody. Because then you'll go to jail.
And maybe we will. Maybe we'll believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're right.
And you know, it also ties into the NFL, but with those commercials they run all the time.
Oh, you never know what will happen.
A lot of butt slapping with those ads.
Poor, poor, poor Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
She got bitten by Mel Gibson.
No.
Yes, she did.
Really?
Right here. Paris Hilton get bitten by Kink-a-Jew.
Kink-a-Jew. I think that's her dog's name.
It's an animal. It's like a raccoon.
A Kink-a-Jew?
That's her pet.
thing.
We've discussed this before. Her kinkajou.
Uh-huh.
It's a member. Oh, hold on. Thank you, Rob.
I think a kinkajou is Ron Jeremy.
The kinkajou is the member of the raccoon family.
That was a Jewish porn star joke.
Very good.
Thank you.
Comes from Central and South America. And this is the, yes, we did mention the one other time that the kinkajou bit Paris Hilton. I think
kinkajou would be Herschel Savage.
Excellent.
Thank you. It's going down my list right now. I think that you would be Seymour Butts because I've watched his show, and he too comes from a Jewish family.
True. Are you out?
I might be. I'm not sure about Harry Reams.
Let's say yes.
I think so, right?
Yeah, I think
I
so.
Really think,
I
think so.
I think so.
You're king of the kinkajous.
Yeah, I think so. And now my mind is beginning to wander a little bit. So thinking of all those guys.
And here's the one thing that you're going to see on TV tonight, I guarantee.
Yes?
I've already seen it on, let me see, I watched the morning news and the noon news, and I saw it on two different stations. How many hours a day do Americans waste on the job?
Okay.
Now, not counting lunch breaks, not counting the smoke breaks.
Mm-hmm.
How many hours a day do you think, in an eight-hour day, Americans waste? How many?
Two.
Yep, that's exactly it.
I nailed it.
2 hours a day.
Awesome.
Surfing on the internet, talking with coworkers, running errands, making personal phone calls, spacing out while staring at the computer, and applying for other jobs.
That's funny.
Of course, around here, we waste 4 hours a day.
Four hours, yes, exactly.
So I saw this, I'm not kidding, this morning it was like on the Today Show as their kicker.
Only from 3 to 7.
Then I turn on Good Morning America, and they're doing it. Then I turn on the local station, Fox 5 here in D.C., and they're doing it, and all of the anchors do it exactly the same.
Of course.
Where at the end, after they say it's 2 hours a day, like, for instance, here on Channel 5, the guy goes, "Huh." And some here at Fox 5, of course, and right. Everybody made the exact same joke.
Yeah.
And speaking of Channel 5,
yeah.
Let me just say something.
He's sending out a little tribute.
I tried to call Mike this morning. Mike was out playing golf.
Right.
I turned on Channel 5 this morning. There's a lady, an anchor lady, who used to work at Channel 9 in D.C., named Gravier Dinza.
Oh, yeah.
And... oh, is she put together.
Yeah.
And our friend Topper Shudd, that does the weather there, told her to listen to the show one day. So she just calls in one day and says hello. We chatted with her.
Seriously, didn't Topper say she listened all the time? Once he hipped her to the show, she listened all the time.
She may be listening now. Really, just a piece of ass. So she gets fired at Channel 9, and she gets a job on the Fox station.
Right.
And she does the Good Morning show now.
Mm-hmm.
I am not lying. This morning... she had, it was not a Jennifer Lopez at the Academy Awards dress on.
She wasn't wearing like a Lil' Kim outfit.
No, but you could definitely see lefty and righty.
Really?
And you couldn't see the whole.
Well, you said that she's undergone kind of a makeover since she got over there to Channel 5.
Wait, yeah, it's too bad that they can't do the same thing with Holly Morris, for God's sake.
That's impossible. That just couldn't happen.
Or Sue Palka.
I mean, you try to do a makeover, and it's like she's got some sort of, like, death field around her.
But I'm telling you, it's Gravier Dinza.
Yeah.
First off, she's hot. She's hot in that, I finally figured, like, an Egyptian type.
Well, an Indian.
Exotically beautiful. Yes, very exotic.
I believe the name is Indian, isn't it?
Yeah, Dots, not teepees.
Great. Thank you, Rob. Dots, not teepees.
Oh.
But today, this morning, on Channel 5, and I tried to call Mike. He wasn't there.
All right.
I want to say... look at her boobs.
Oh, my.
And it's not like she was
when
showing...
when she was at Channel 9, you never saw her body. No,
she
that's
was
true.
Not showing her entire breast, her entire boob, but she was wearing a top that was kind of low cut.
Is she married?
Not according to her left finger, Mike.
Not
really.
She recently...
She was married.
Didn't she recently get divorced?
In the overall scheme of things, fairly recently.
Buzz keeps track of those things. Like a snake.
It came up when she was on the show, I believe.
She was married to Mr. Dinza.
All I know is that, my God, if
Tony.
If they put her on...
Tony Dinza.
Hey, he wins.
Tony Dinza.
Hold me closer. Tony Dinza.
Tony Dinza.
Well, listen, her boobs were just...
Angela.
Her boobs were incredible today.
She was a lovely one.
That's all I can say is that...
And she was wearing like a... Can you... describe it a little better.
Okay. Here, she had on, like, a suit jacket.
right. or like a girl's jacket
right.
and that matched her dress.
Oh, was it just, was it the deal where it was just the jacket?
No. She had a shirt on underneath, but the shirt was V-cut, like maybe all the way down to here.
Plunging necklace.
Yes, and you can definitely see, because she had a bra on that lifts and separates, mm-hmm. you could see lefty and righty, and as she would turn, she would do that thing. Wow. I love it when a woman goes like this and turns with her arms, kind of folds her arms and pushes her boobs together. Oh, my God.
Wow. Do you think it was by design that she was pushing her boobs together?
I don't know, but all I know is, yeah, tell me about no toothpaste. That's all I was saying. Tell me about no mouthwash. I don't care.
Well, Gervier. I mean, I believe Gervier, of course, Gervier's gone to Channel 5, where they have a moratorium on coming on this show, because they're afraid of us, so they won't come on this show, so maybe we won't be able to speak with her, but, you know, Channel 9... My God, anybody comes on this show. So the whole crew, they'll come on.
We're turning them down.
Yeah, we're turning them down.
We love Channel 9, but Gervier Dinza.
Mm. Have you ever
seen her in person? Have I seen her in person? No.
I met her once at a Redskins game.
Did you really?
Got a nice body.
Really? She does?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, really? How about Sexual Rob?
Yeah. Hey, Sexual Rob, let me ask you.
The eighth wonder of the world!
That's kind of a casual affair. You know, a football game. Was she wearing...
Jeans.
Jeans, thank you. Jeans.
I'll remember that for a while.
Really?
I was standing behind her.
Really?
Yeah.
How about Rob with the sexual tip-in?
Yeah, my wife's out of town for a long time.
nice tight ass?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gervier.
She's moving away further now, I think.
How about her boobs? Did you see them?
She was cold, so she had a jacket on. I couldn't tell. Mm. But I saw the jeans. I'll remember the jeans.
Really?
Yeah. Camel toe?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that kind of jean. That's funny. Picture in that. I love talking about local TV people more than anything.
Me too.
Especially her.
She's just like Peg Bundy, the Redskins game.
Is there any local standout now besides, I mean, you've got Tracy Neal.
Listen, Allison Starling is still totally effable. You watch Channel 7 in the morning.
And a girl next door kind of. I said Tracy Neal.
Right.
But Allison Starling is.
No, that's it.
Yeah. And of course, what is it, Brett Haber?
Channel 9?
Yeah, he's sexy.
Channel 9?
He's hot.
Oh, and HB.
Bernstein. All I know is I watched Doreen Gensler the other night.
Yeah.
And my God, I would guarantee she's not seen the high hard one since Y2K. I swear to God. You know, the other night it was Wendy Rieger and Doreen Gensler doing the news. The two women are and
fight broke out.
And, well, you know, it was
turned
like,
into a cage match.
It was like it was like polar opposites because on one hand, you know, Wendy Rieger could have been the girl after in a porno movie. You know, the girl that needs the cloth. You know, and. I mean, that's how sexed up she looked.
Yeah, she's always been sexy.
Then on the other hand, there's Doreen Gensler, who looked like, you know.
And here's the lesson for today, school marm.
Penis. What do you mean by that?
Aunt Sarah. She dresses like the church lady.
Oh, and one more TV note, as long as we're riffing on TV. Channel 4, I have to give a shout out to Clay Anderson, who maybe is the worst TV weatherman I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But he made me laugh, and he made me do a spit take.
Clay Anderson made you laugh?
Yes. Here's why. And he's worthless. You know,
didn't I hear he was out the door, that they were going to fire him?
He's resigning,
okay.
Well, anyway, he was on, and he said, I'm going to try to do my best Clay Anderson. I'm not going to do my hello there.
Right.
He loves saying everybody and everyone, and good morning, everybody. Uh-huh. Good morning, everyone. Here's our shot on the D.C. skyline, as you can see. Oh, look at this. The haze is lifted. There's the Washington Monument.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful and erect.
Oh!
Wow.
I stopped for a second.
Did he just get a little frisky on his way out the door?
I stopped for a second. It really just did like a...
Any chance he was doing a double entendre?
No.
He's on his way out. You know. No, there's no way he would be doing
chance.
That. All right. No beautiful chance. And erect.
Yeah.
No
chance.
Wow. No, what's he saying chance. Exactly? Maybe he was sending some kind of secret message to Tom Curran.
And I think Shannon Bream at Channel 4, as long as we're rating them, she has some possibilities. But here's my advice to her. And honey, before you take my advice, before you don't take my advice, because you say, I'm a fat pig. Look at my picture. I'm a handsome man. I know beauty. First thing, lose the soccer mom haircut. Really. Grow that hair out. Number two, take a lesson from Gervier. You've got two fantastic puppies. Why are you strapping them down?
Let them breathe.
Pop a button.
Let them breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, you're sitting up there with Barbara Harrison. I mean, for God's sakes, you really don't have to work hard to look better than Barbara Harrison.
Oh, my God. Check out Barbara Harrison's Mamie Eisenhower collection.
And what I'm saying is it's my belief as a man that watches TV in my underpants, many times nude, that Shannon Bream doesn't work as hard as making herself look good when she's working with Barbara Harris.
Why should she, right? Yeah,
right?
But she should, because you're out there appreciating
I'm
her.
I'm watching.
And she does have potential.
And I'm looking at her this morning, and I'm saying, you know what? She just didn't care enough to get up that 15 minutes early because, you know, I mean, in essence, she's sitting next to a feed bag.
Right.
I mean,
Barbara Harrison's not fat. Barbara Harrison is just tired.
She's old and...
Today in Washington, that's why I'm wearing my wool, you know, Pat Nixon suit.
Right.
So, yeah, she's
true.
So they got a piece of ass next to her. Now, when I watch her on the weekend, Shannon Bream on the weekend...
Right.
Oh, my God, she's sexed up. She looks good.
Right.
Now, she's doing the morning show, and I know what she's got to think. Oh, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd love to sleep. I really should look pretty. Oh, that's right. I'm angry with Barbara Harrison. Oh, I can sleep another half hour.
Note to her, you can never miss with a halter. Really, why don't they wear... I mean, you know, I think every TV station should have a sex counselor. And I'm not talking about the kind that's like helping guys not harass women. Right. I'm talking about the kind that can sex them up. It's TV.
And it's a win-win.
It's TV.
Well, Channel 5 is doing a good job with Gravier.
Mm-hmm. Well, Channel 5's probably got somebody over there that goes, hey, listen, you know, they probably got some guy that's kind of like Gene Simmons that's over there maybe in the makeup room going, you know, that's a fantastic outfit. You want to know how to make that better?
Yeah.
Step in here. And then, you know, they walk out 20 minutes later and you got, you know, sex.
Channel 5 is like that. Steve Chenevy was wearing really tight pants today.
Your color is green. Now, you look good. Sit at this. Do me a favor. Undo one more button.
Are you averse to one more button? Well, would you? You know what? That is fantastic. You know what would really make that better? One more.
One more.
Thank
button.
You. Very, very nice.
What if they made that their slogan?
Now,
Channel 4, one more button.
You've got the extra makeup on. You've got the push-up on. You've undone both buttons. Now remember, before the red light comes on, wet your lips. Always wet your lips.
And get some ice. You know.
You seen Showgirls?
Very nice.
You're nipple-rific.
Okay, how about this? Can I convince you to do one more button with just more eyeshadow?
Excellent job. Miss Bream, we'd like you to meet the consultant we've hired. Maybe you've heard of him. He used to be in the band Kiss. His name is Gene Simmons.
Good afternoon. This is a good look for you. What I suggest you do is... That is a lovely blouse, but there's no need for it underneath the jacket.
Oh, let's do one more.
Okay. Yes.
We have someone else for you. Please say hi to Sue Palka.
I'm sorry, there's absolutely nothing we can do.
No men in here.
I'm terribly sorry, Miss Palka. Please. Oh, really? Oh, well, I do have a proposition for you. Thank you, Miss Palka. Yes, siree, yes. Would I... Yes, I would like to test your gag reflex.
Hello.
Miss Palka, here's a pistol for you. Gene Simmons.
I didn't know that. Check the gag reflex. That would be the ultimate.
Once you do Palka, you never go back.
She walks out of the office to go ahead and go with the consultant. She's holding a gun in her hand.
I tell you, the weather will never be better. Good job, Palka.
Okay, time out, everybody. So I guess the moral of that story is, you know, John Cryer. Oh, yes, son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's a shame. I'm real sorry.
Son of a bitch. You know, I'm out there now. Yeah. I can make that happen now with Lisa Joyner.
All it would take is one little trip out to L.A.
Yeah.
One trip to L.A. Imagine that. It'd be like...
She'd have to be gardening.
Be like... Hello, she'd peek out through the window. She'd like... here.
Can I help you?
Hey, Lisa, it's me, Don, DJ from 2 years ago. Hey, guess what? My wife passed away, and I'm single.
I really don't know who you are. John, there's somebody at the door.
You know,
John, there's a man with a Hawaiian shirt. He's scaling the fence.
So, okay.
Hey, Buster. Get the frig out of here, man.
She likes me because I'm sensitive.
We got to do this. We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hundreds of them. This calls for strategy. I'll have to put on my thinking cap.
Here, one for you, monkey face. That dope shop is plenty for all. Here you are, slant eyes. Everybody gets one.
Ice cream.
Well, that's that.
Oh, just one minute, Joe. Just one minute, or you don't get away from me. You wait.
I got the free one.
Believe me, sweetie face, it's a pleasure.
Business is booming.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you gone.
They really make it all worthwhile. Don Geronimo, McNamara.
That Bugs Bunny tape was awful.
Terrible.
Awful.
Unforgivable.
Oh, really?
Not funny.
It's more Bugs Bunny nips the nips.
1940s.
Not right. Let me see. Oh, speaking of nips, we have a Reno-style show coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't call them Las Vegas-style shows anymore because there's not nip slips.
Right, exactly.
And it started out as our We Are Number 15, We Suck in the Ratings Party. Mm-hmm. Now we're number 4, and right. We're working our way back towards number 1. Every month we're getting out, we're doing the closest thing that we can to a Las Vegas-style show without getting arrested.
Right. Right.
And Rob, when will we have the details on the next one?
Tuesday we should be making an announcement.
Tuesday.
Any hints?
Yes.
There are hints.
It will not be in the great state of Virginia.
Ooh.
Oh, nice look around cafe.
So it won't be at Mike's joint this time.
Unless it is.
The password is...
That's why you're the...
Backup. Kongest. Backup plan.
That is why...
Of all the Kongs in the world,
yes.
You're the Kongiest.
I would say there is a very good chance it won't be in Virginia.
You are the Kongiest. So, here's where I'm going with this.
Yeah? Yes.
We have been negligent in our continuing at least once a week soap opera about the guy that runs the news station, which is a couple of slots ahead of us in the ratings now.
Jim Fartley.
Now, we did it for a couple of days, and we poked fun at Rupert Pupkin, the guy with the radio website, and then we didn't do it for a couple of days.
Right.
And as it turns out, I don't want to say exactly where the mole is, if the mole is at WTOP or if the mole is at Washington Post Radio, both of which are owned by the same company.
Right.
But we've got somebody over there.
Good.
And we have it on the highest authority that it is bothering Mr. Farley. That it's bothering him to the point where people are coming up and saying to him, hey, have you heard Don and Mike making fun of you?
That's and he doesn't respond to it very well?
No. Well, he's one of these guys.
He does not react well.
He's a speaker at the National. Yeah, he reinvented radio by doing traffic and weather on the 8th.
Yes, I remember back in 1980, I had a situation. Shut up.
And from what I understand, he's also one of these guys, if he meets you, he'll say, I'm Jim Farley, I'm the operations manager at WTOP. He doesn't say, I'm Jim Farley, much like, you know, Mike or myself, you wouldn't say,
no.
Hi, you know.
Well, I know how we both introduce ourselves. You say, hi, I'm Don, and I say, hi, I'm Mike. That's it.
That's it.
That is it.
Anyway, so.
Unless I'm, you know, plastered.
Right. Now that we know.
Then I give the whole, the whole bio.
But that only happens on days of the week that end in Y.
Exactly.
So, now that we know that Jim Farley is bothered by this, We're going to bring it back.
And we're going to do it at least once a week. And we've got everything worked out. I don't have to worry about doing my Jim Elliot voice.
Mm-hmm.
Rob will be playing the role of one of the news anchors there.
Right.
I'll be playing the role of the secretary. Buzz is the announcer, and right. Mike is the guy, the pompous ass that runs the news station.
Jim Fartley.
Who also has like a 24-hour machine.
A PR machine.
A self-promotion machine. Where it's like, my God, he's as bad as the TV stations.
Right.
I turned it on today and it was like, when the terror alert was raised, WTOP was there.
Mm-hmm.
What? When we were told that we couldn't bring shampoo on an airplane anymore?
Yeah, when they came over your wire service.
Please,
right.
Eat me, copy boy.
Thank you.
So let's get right to it.
Yes.
Dedicated to Jim Fartley. Time for...
It's time to meet the Fartleys.
Oh, there's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
When we last left the glass enclosed nerve center that is Jim Fartley's office, our hero was meeting with his morbidly obese bearded newsreader, Ira Melman. The atmosphere was tense. Their moods were pensive. And the air smelled of ass. Just as they were about to discuss the deepest, darkest secret at the all-news station... when Fartley's secretary, Bonnie Ville, comes into his office.
Excuse me, Mr. Fartley?
Bonnie! How dare you disturb this high-powered meeting?
Sorry to disturb you, sir, but there's a situation brewing in the break room.
Oh, is it bad?
It hasn't been this bad since our reporter, Sean Anderson, climbed on top of that beverage cart on the airplane a few years back. Don't you remember?
Good God, woman, of course I remember. That was the worst Diet Coke I ever tasted. It was really hard to finish it.
But as I recall, you were pleased that the airline gave you extra peanuts that day.
Peanuts always make me happy, Bonnie, even the second time around. Now then, what's going on in the break room?
Well, sir, the problem is...
Mike's telephone, which you promised you would turn off yesterday.
Our story will continue in a moment.
Sorry, everybody. That was my Fartley phone. I'll get back to the story in a second. God damn it.
Now, back to meet the Fartley.
Oh, you were pleased the airline gave you extra peanuts that day.
Peanuts always make me happy, Bonnie. Even the second time around. Now then, what is going on in the break room?
Well, sir, I don't want to say, but the problem is, it's Sean Hall, sir.
Hey! I was the best man at Sean's wedding!
It was true. Any Google search will reveal that Ira Melman was the best man at Sean Hall's wedding.
What's so great about this? Let me just stop this for a second. It's not just goofing on the pompous dick that runs this station.
Right.
But it's all the tools out over there who think that they are real news people, you know, unlike Buzz,
mm-hmm.
Because they come on and say it's 8 after the hour.
Right.
Right.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Mike? I'm going to shut this thing off once and for all. I am so sorry. I really am. There it is. Shut off now. Thank you for it. You know what? It's brand new and I can't figure out. There. It's gone. It's turned off forever. It will never be turned on
again.
French
fry machine break? What happened?
I swear to God. God damn.
Anyway, it's funny to bring the reporter and call them reporters is funny, but it's...
Right.
It's,
well, a lot of these guys are DJs, right? They're old DJs.
Yes. Right. Many of them worked as, like, morning show news people or morning show sidekicks before they get this job. So it's great to do this. And Rob actually did do the Google search.
Yeah, we saw the pictures.
Pretty funny stuff. So let's see. Hold on a second. Let's pick it up from... Oh,
back
Buzz.
To the narrator.
Buzz.
And the search revealed that Ira Melman was the best man at Sean Hall's wedding.
Any Google search will reveal that.
And while that has nothing to do with our story, it remains an interesting sidelight. The wedding cake never had a chance.
So, Bonnie, what is Sean Hall doing in the break room?
Well, sir, Sean Hall was cleaning his gun and getting ready to slaughter some cattle for his lunch when his pistol accidentally went off.
Oh, no!
Yes, and the bullet went straight for Lisa Baden's heaving bosom.
What an ample target. Was she hurt?
Luckily, the bullet bounced off her steel-reinforced brassiere. The only damage she suffered was a sharp bullet-shaped rip in her Little House on the Prairie school barn dress.
Then what happened, Bonnie?
The ricocheted bullet got lodged in a huge, unsightly gap in Diane Kempley's dentures.
Maybe that will stop the whistling sound when she talks.
That's doubtful, because Sean Hall suddenly retrieved the bullet, covered it in tartar sauce, and ate it, sir.
Oh, well, there's no use in crying about it. What's done is done. Just make sure that Sean Hall doesn't sneak in any more firearms. And you know how to be certain, right?
Yes, sir, Mr. Fartley. I'll search in all of his folds.
After a brief delay, struggling and trying to navigate her way around Ira Melman, Bonnie left and went to pat down Sean Hall, a task she had to set aside 2.5 hours to do.
I'm Ira Melman, News Radio WTOP. Mr. Fartley?
Mr. Melman, let's get back down to business.
Okay. But let's hurry. I left the case of gummy bears in my automobile, and they should be plenty soft by now.
Well, Ira, here's the deal. We've got to come up with some good ways to keep this rusty old vessel afloat. The good ship WTOP has been taking on water for months, and I fear the Don and Mike submarine is in our midst.
Submarine? A submarine sandwich!
Ira, you need to focus.
Jim, you need to calm down. What's the big deal?
Don't you get it? If we don't do something soon, people will figure out our deepest, darkest secret.
You mean the thousands of candy bars I have hidden in the basement?
No, fat ass. The fact that we...
Yes?
That we actually run more commercials per hour than the Don and Mike Show.
Pause for dramatic effect. Now, back to the plate.
We what?
You big blob of pie filling. On average, we run more commercials per hour than the Don and Mike Show.
But, Jim, nobody ever realizes it because our news content is so tired and repetitive.
Yes, I guess that the commercials are the best thing that we run. I mean, after hearing dumbass Neil Augenstein ramble on endlessly about murders or restaurants or whatever, a 60-second spot for the T. Talbot Bond Company is like an episode of Flippin' Seinfeld.
Yes, Jim. I feel that our programming is our weak link.
Maybe you're right. But don't you think we've been doing a better job with our news coverage?
Well, I don't know. We've been all over this heat wave.
Yeah, buddy, that's really a hot story.
Great pun, boss.
What pun?
Anywho, here's our lead story today. I'm Ira Melman, News Radio, WTOP. It's very hot. Try to stay inside. If you have air conditioning, use it. If you have water, drink it. I'm Ira Melman, News Radio, WTOP. Then, we'll repeat it every 10 minutes until this autumn.
Hard-hitting news. That's how I roll. Whoopsie.
I hate this heat. I just sweated through my sport jacket. I'm soaked. The Melman Heat Index has the current temp at 109 degrees.
The Melman Heat Index?
Yes, that's how hot it feels if you weigh over 500 pounds. I'm Ira Melman, News Radio, WPLP.
Great idea. Here, have some ointment.
Thanks, boss.
Let me go see if I can reach where I need to apply it.
I doubt you'll be able to, but good luck. And don't forget, this Wednesday you're coming over to my house to graze in my front yard. My grass is getting way too long, Ira.
I wouldn't miss it for all the butter in Wisconsin.
Join us next time when we'll hear Jim Fartley say...
Has anybody seen my hemorrhoidal donut pillow? Anyone? Ira, have you seen it?
Oh, that was yours? I thought it was a Krispy Kreme. That is, until I tasted it.
As we meet the Fartleys.
Bravo. Bravo. Bravo.
What can I say?
Oh, I love that one today.
Well, that is, folks...
That's 10 minutes. You'll never get back.
You could have been reading the Bible, for God's sake.
I predict the Peabody. I truly enjoy it. It's getting better and better.
Uh-huh. It is, Mike.
It is fantastic.
We'll have Buzz with no news and traffic on the AIDS.
No, not at all.
Only his slanted bias, his totally anti-Bush, anti-you, anti-me, anti-everybody newscast coming right up.
Cool. And, of course, our constant interruptions.
Ira
Melvin. Dynamite interruption time. 606.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, let's find out.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news. He's in baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Both the cause and the cure for an ice cream headache. The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz Gridley's news and comment now. Brought to you by AddictedToKelly.com. Go there for all the latest Kelly Clarkson tour information, as well as exclusive video. Your chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible. Brought to you by Ford.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Bill. I like saying hi to William Ford. Billy Ford, big advertiser on the show.
Uh-huh.
Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, brother. We know a lot more today about that plot to blow up airplanes headed for the U.S. The terrorists did, in fact, plan to use liquid explosives, the ingredients for which are apparently easy to get and carry. They plan to carry the ingredients separately in Gatorade bottles, hence the no liquids rule. And they plan to detonate them next Wednesday on up to 10 planes simultaneously. The planes out of London are scheduled for New York, Washington, and California. Today, the terrorists had hoped to make a dry run to make sure the plot would work.
What?
What's I got a jot in my head.
That's got to hurt.
Sorry.
Leave a mark.
Uh-huh.
Some of the 24 people arrested yesterday also had tickets for next Wednesday, 8:16. I know the plot was foiled, but airlines are still a little worried. They'd really just begun to bounce back for the very first time since the 9/11 of 5 years ago. If people start canceling their airplane trips, either because of fear or because it's such a hassle, the airlines may start to crumble all over again.
Well, now, listen, here is what I'm thinking.
All right.
I mentioned yesterday I'm going down to Orlando next month with my daughter and her husband and the grandkids.
Right.
They're flying down from Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I really had to stop today and think for a second. I was talking to my travel agent, said, you know, by the time I get to the airport, and by the time I go through the hassle of checking my bag and everything, because I'm guessing, you know, a month from now, whenever our vacation is, that it'll be still as hairy.
Sure. Right. About, maybe.
And I'm talking about going, I think I'm flying actually on the 11th, on 9/11.
Right.
On the day.
Did that one.
So I said, you know, Christ, and then getting to the airport, you got to wait for your bag. And she said, you know, they're double screening you now.
Mm-hmm.
That you get, you know, twice as many, and sometimes they even screen you when you get off the plane.
Right.
I really said,
why would they do it getting off?
In certain airports, they have...
So you're not handing off to somebody. I mean, they check you for everything, right?
Pretty much you're signing your rights away, you know, and everybody's agreeing with it.
For safety,
I said to her, how long is the drive to Orlando?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I said, what, 10 hours in a car? Something like 12 hours, something like that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, if I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd be in Orlando at 4. Now, if my plane leaves at 10,
right,
I'm going to have to get up at 4 o'clock anyway.
Right.
Because I got to leave the house at 6 to be at the airport by 7 to make sure that I got enough time to go through the crap.
Or 9 o'clock.
I arrive in Orlando.
You're saving 6 hours.
Yeah. The plane in Orlando arrives. Then I got to wait an hour for my bag, find where I'm going. You know, I might just drive.
Might be the way to go.
And it's not because I'm afraid. It's because I'm looking at 3 hours waiting.
I'm doing the same thing with Las Vegas.
You know, you would actually save another hour because you wouldn't have to rent a car either. You
right.
have a car.
Yeah, that's true.
Now I have to pull off of that plan driving to Vegas because I watched the movie The Hills Have Eyes.
Well, if you want to get back on, watch Vacation.
Yes.
Watch when Christy Brinkley's driving by Chevy Chase.
Vegas Vacation. The original Vacation.
Yeah, is that the only good thing, really, that Christy Brinkley has ever done in her life?
If you unless you want to count the Billy Joel videos.
Well, like Uptown Girl?
Which really...
Or her many CoverGirl covers?
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, that was the best thing she did.
Vacation. She'd drive by in that red car.
She did it in Vegas Vacation, too.
She did.
And you, even the biggest Chevy Chase hater in the world would have to admit,
yeah,
he's funny in his reaction.
The original Vacation.
When he's driving the family truckster.
Yeah. It, wouldn't that be the definitive movie? I mean, the only one he really was funny in.
Yeah.
I mean, Caddyshack. But he was part of that big ensemble.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. People are, again, being advised to arrive at the airport at least 2 hours before their scheduled flights. Experts say that if people start canceling, the airlines may resort to cutting ticket prices to try to bring people back. Now, others say the effect of the latest scare is probably just temporary. It was better today. The lines were shorter and moving more quickly, so we're adjusting.
I saw that as well. I saw that the security lines were shorter.
Right.
However, the lines to check in baggage now are incredible.
Here's the thing.
Because you can't carry anything on the plane.
I flew last weekend, and the lines to check in bags were nuts anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I just can't even imagine what it's going to be now. But I think, really, the airlines, they're talking about cutting... prices for people to fly. You want to make sure people are going to fly again, you hire more people to accommodate these lines. That's what you do.
And these new restrictions, have they eliminated the curbside check-in again for the bags?
No.
So you can still do that,
but that
had a line, too.
Like, for instance, they had a helicopter at BWI today, and they said that, exactly. If you're thinking about that, take a look at this line. They go, which one is it? Terminal D? Anybody up in Baltimore listening to us now would know.
BWI.
Terminal D. The line went all the way outside and ran along the crust of the building all the way to the parking garage.
Wow. Now, one of the things that I'm doing when I fly, I'm going to fly JetBlue. One of the things they said you can do is you can actually, pre-check in online. I think a lot of airlines let you do that now. And you can also, tell them how many bags. They give you the measurements for your bags. So apparently that will speed it up when you get there.
I can't imagine that you're going to get to the airport this day and age, though, and say, oh, look, I checked in online. You're going to have to go through the same crap.
Double check that. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to check it out and see what happens.
I tried that. My bag wouldn't tell me your measurements.
Hey. Oh, God. Can you tell it's Friday?
His wife's out of town again.
He'll be here all
weekend.
Here's
how you know his wife's out of town. I started getting the green bottle calls. The next beer calls.
Right.
Someone returned them a little later.
Oh, yeah, no, I did.
That was the white bottle call.
Mr. Goose.
Vodka called back. But there was a lot of conversation because he's not a big football nut. But right. he was pounding a couple back last night, and
you know what I'll do tonight? I'll give both of you at about 4 o'clock in the morning the everything bottle call. He will too. Well, the events of the week haven't hurt. Ticket sales for the new 9/11 movie. World Trade Center sold $4.5 million worth of tickets for a Wednesday opening. Okay, I just want to say one thing briefly on this. I didn't want to get heavy on anybody because I watched it last night. Went to see it last night.
Right.
And I'll tell you what I did like about it. One definitive moment that I actually liked and I realized why I was glad that I went to see the movie. You remember when we were sitting there in New York when we were, that whole week that we were there after 9/11. A lot of people probably don't even realize that we were actually in New York when that happened.
On 9/11.
And one of the things we did, I think a lot of people did, was you would applaud the firefighters when they would drive by.
Right.
These guys were covered head to toe in dust. I'll tell you what this movie does. If it does one thing, and this is why I'm going to give the movie a pass, it does singularly single out the guys that were down there in the rubble that were trying to dig people out and shows you.
Right.
I never really processed that as far as the level of danger that they were in going into that rubble to get only what proved to be only 20 people out of there.
Right.
This movie really, if there's one hero in that, it's those guys that actually crawled down really risking their lives to do that. And I never processed that until I saw that movie. So that's a positive that comes out of it. I really thought the movie in general. Other than that,
You make a compelling argument. I think this weekend I'm going to see Ricky Bobby.
Thank you. Well, you've always, really, I mean, when I say do this, you jump.
No, the other way.
Always. You know, I feel differently about the movie than
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, but I really walked out of there going, man, you know, it reminded me how much courage those guys showed that particular day. And if that's a bad thing, you know, it's not a bad thing.
I want to escape it.
I really might go see Superman at IMAX.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that too.
Because it's got the part where you get the 3D glasses, the crazy, and then, like, the little glasses show up on the screen. Every time he flies, you see him in 3D.
And I'm not really able to predict. There were not a lot of people in the theater when I was there last night. It was a very, very small group.
I got two predictions for you.
I don't think the movie's going to do that well.
I disagree.
You think it's going to do well?
I think because of what's happened
this week,
in the last 2 days.
Right.
Two things are going to happen. That movie's going to be a friggin' hit, and you're going to see Bush's numbers go up, 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 up.
It was surreal watching that movie, getting in my car, and you know, hearing people talk about, you know, the alerts at the airport. It was very, very weird. Quoting one White House official, weeks before September 11th, this is going to play big.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I'm sure that they don't really say this, but in Hollywood, whatever studio made this movie, and with Bush, with the people that track his polling numbers, they've both got to say, oh, my God, this terrorist thing is the best thing that could have happened. I mean, because we caught the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the best thing.
I think it also might, though, and they're not counting on this.
It'll sell tickets. It'll make Bush more popular.
But what Bush might not be counting on is it's also going to put a spotlight on just how inadequate we may be as far as protecting this country from, you know, this type of thing happening. Yeah, we caught the guys over in London.
What do you mean if somebody puts the movie together with...
No, I'm just saying, you know, when you're talking about Bush's poll numbers going up, I'm also reading a hell of a lot of articles today about how woefully unprepared we are, you know, as far as...
I thought we had a rule.
What's that?
No reading. Thought we had a rule.
All right.
Would you stop that?
All right, well, it was read to me. Republicans have been rightfully worried about their prospects for re-election because of the war in Iraq. They're feeling a little less threatened after this week's news. Democrats, says the White House official, won't look as appealing. This week's foiled plot was apparently hatched a little over a year ago by these terrorists. Word is Tony Blair tipped off President Bush about it a week ago today. The public wasn't told until the middle of this week. By the way, those foreign exchange students from Egypt, the 11 students who went missing, they've now rounded up six of them, but it wasn't their walk that gave them away. That's our story when we come back.
All right, King Tut.
Number 4, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Attacked as well, bitten and scratched. A friend of one of the victims trapped the squirrel under a bucket and called city animal workers. But after waiting 2 hours for him to show up, he released the squirrel to attack again. Animal workers did finally capture the squirrel and found that the squirrel did not have rabies. He was just really, really angry.
Here's a quote from the squirrel.
He's big.
Oh, he is huge. He's going to make somebody a beautiful coat, though.
Good eating. If breast size is a factor in the next California gubernatorial election, I predict a tie.
That's right.
Porn star Mary Carey is running again against Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We must get her on the show. Oh, no. You know what? I had a conversation with Rob.
Yeah.
I tried.
Rob bitchy. Rob said, Mary Carey's running. I said, no way.
No.
I don't want that sloppy cow teat on this show again. Hey, Don and Mike, I'm partying in Vegas. I'm drunk right now. There are girls looking at my boobs.
Yes, the star of Boobsville Sorority Girls promises to raise the plastic surgery tax, to lower gas prices, and to make strip clubs all nude with alcohol. She's a Republican, in case you couldn't tell.
Did you see the other part? Now, Rob is really working me on this. Like, he's got a real guest, right? He said... And you know, she's not been drinking for 5 days. Okay. Have her on your show, Rob.
Can we have her on Barbara's show?
No, I'm saving you the trouble here. Someday, Mary says she hopes to run as a major party candidate for President of the United States. Or this is all just a sad publicity stunt. She only collected 40 signatures of the 164,000 names she needed to get on the November ballot.
Really?
And here's what's sad. Triethylamuria.
What's that?
It's a condition that makes a woman smell like fish. Like...
Oh.
Yeah, I see fish.
No. Like a lot of fish gone bad.
Oh.
You rock.
Perfumes can't cover it up. Soaking doesn't help. It's made life rough for a case study, Camille, who's both a former model and a Phi Beta Kappa with a master's in education. Her teaching career turned painful. The kids started calling her Miss Fishy. Kids can be so cruel.
Damn, damn, damn!
one day a bunch of them threw tuna sandwiches at her. Even opening the window and setting up a fan didn't help, but help did arrive via the internet, where Camille found she's not the only woman who smells like fish, and she found something else she did not know. She's not the only one who had it and didn't know it. Triethylamura.
Yeah.
Just thought you should be forewarned.
Thank you, Buzz.
Let's
and
see.
A very special night at the ballpark after the break.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating.
And
entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown
right
by.
The Don and Mike Show. Celebrating the year of the ass. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, right on. Now here's former member of the Birds.
That's right.
Buzz Birdley.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
In Switzerland, the government is paying for sex for handicapped people who might not otherwise get it. People can find a wheelchair. Even folks can find a bed.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
They cannot get exactly what they need from a welfare group's friendly staff of one woman and three men.
I did say everything.
Even at $125 an hour, they're not considered prostitutes because they also show tenderness. Reportedly, similar services are also provided for the handicapped in Denmark, the Netherlands, and Germany.
I really want them touching you.
And finally, I think we'll all be there in spirit for the Newark Bears game tonight. Anyone who brings a baby or dresses as one gets in free.
Oh, dear.
You could win a free car seat from AAA because tonight at the ballpark.
Oh, you don't know, Mike. Yeah, it's not what you think.
It's okay. Britney Spears' baby safety night.
It's not like adult diaper night.
Oh, okay, but you know some of those people might sneak
in. Yeah, the diaper pill club.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you're sitting next to that guy in Pootinky.
Thanks for coming to the game. Drive safely. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry,
we're out.
All right, that's it. We got to fly. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Kuda. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. See you Monday. Good day to you, sir.
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 Okay, and...
The wonder of the world!
Catch this jart!
See you Monday.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.